The Peter Werbe Show is next on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. President Bush is traveling to California today for a rendezvous with U.S. troops aboard the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln. A story from correspondent Terry Moore.
Aboard the aircraft carrier tonight, President Bush will tell the nation that the major combat operations in Iraq are over. Before leaving, the president called the past month another time of testing for America.
Americans prayed that war would not be necessary, and now pray that peace will be just and lasting.
The president was taking part in a National Day of Prayer ceremony at the White House. He called prayer an integral part of our national life. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
The president won't declare the war in Iraq entirely over because under the Geneva Conventions, the U.S. would then have to call off its search for Saddam Hussein and other former members of the Iraqi government. Dozens of children are still missing after an earthquake in southeast Turkey overnight. That quake destroyed many buildings, including a school. At least 150 people are reported to have been killed, and many more have been injured. Correspondent Suzanne Chislett has the latest.
The earthquake hit during the night as most people near the city of Bingöl in southeastern Turkey, where it was centered, slept. Among the buildings that collapsed is a boarding school where over 100 children are believed trapped after their four-story dormitory building was completely flattened by the force of the tremor. In the city center itself, apartment blocks have collapsed and rescuers are desperately trying to dig their way through the rubble using pickaxes and mechanical diggers. Relatives of those listed as missing are looking on. Suzanne Chislett reporting.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's in Kabul, Afghanistan, meeting with Afghan President Hamid Karzai as he continues a tour of the Middle East and South Asia. Rumsfeld praised Karzai at a news conference earlier.
For me to come back after many months now and see the progress, to feel the energy in the street, to see the kiosks and people active and cars moving around, it is a measure of the progress. It's a measure of the success that's taking place here.
Rumsfeld said it's clear the overwhelming majority of Afghanistan is secure now as Afghan citizens have started returning to their country from around the world.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal symptoms from pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
There are new indictments and new suspects now in the criminal investigation into the collapse of former energy trading giant Enron. The Justice Department has announced new charges against former Enron chief financial officer Andrew Fastow. Officials are also accusing his wife and seven other Enron executives of fraud and other criminal violations in connection with the company's collapse. First-time unemployment claims dropped for the week ending April 26. New figures out today from the Labor Department show initial jobless claims were at 448,000, a decrease of 13,000 from the previous week's revised figure of 461,000.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Israeli troops have reportedly killed 8 Palestinians in a raid on a Hamas stronghold in Gaza City. That move comes only hours after the long-awaited so-called roadmap for peace in the Middle East was presented to key officials. Hamas spokesman Abdul Aziz Rantisi, though, insists the fighting in Gaza proves peace is not what Israel wants.
Applying a roadmap now, they are on ground by killing Palestinians.
The Israeli army says the target of the raid was the home of Youssef Abu Hain, a top Hamas fugitive, but eyewitnesses say a teenager and a toddler were among those killed. It's not clear if the incursion is in response to a suicide attack yesterday in Tel Aviv that killed 3 Israelis. That attack is thought now to have been carried out by a man who has a British passport. And an investigation into February's breakup of the space shuttle Columbia shows it's likely nothing could have been done to save the orbiter or its crew. According to today's Orlando Sentinel, NASA investigators have looked at whether changing some key things about Columbia's reentry procedures could have made a difference, and they don't believe it would. I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Liger with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're all dressed up with places to go. You scoot behind the wheel, turn the key, but no go. Now you're just all dressed up. What's to blame? Battery or starter? When I come back, I'll tell you.
Rain-X now has a line of car waxes specially designed to protect your car's finish, not just to make it shiny and look good. Any wax can do that. Rain-X car waxes form a protective polymer seal over your car. The same way Rain-X windshield treatment repels water, Rain-X's new line of car waxes repel rain, road grime, UV rays, even tar. For a tough, protective barrier that does more than just keep your car's finish looking great, check out Rain-X's new line of car wax. Rain-X, protection you can see.
When cars won't start, it's always frustrating. What's the culprit, battery or starter? Here's how to tell. If it's night, turn on your headlights. If they don't come on, of course it's the battery. But if they do, leave them on and try to crank your car. If they dim or go out, the battery's to blame. During daylight, try the same test with your horn. If your lights and horn operate normally when you try to crank your car, guess what? It's the starter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us. Brought to you by Rain-X Wax, the ultimate shield.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werbe Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome to Jalene Jordan as well. Hi, Jalene.
Hi, Peter. Thank you.
What a wonderful day. It's May Day all across the world. Of course, except in the United States, because, hey, it's an international workers' holiday, and the national bosses here, they go, oh, we don't want any international solidarity. We don't want anybody connecting up the idea that there is such a thing as international labor solidarity. So what the United States did a long time ago was to make Labor Day in September. Let's get it as far away from when workers all across the world, middle class and working class, are celebrating our contribution to the societies in which we live. Maybe they think it would make us reflect a little too much on how we're all getting looted and robbed.
Yeah, huh? Absolutely.
Yeah. And also,
think we can do that today?
Huh? What?
Can do that today?
Yeah. Well, we'll try. That's some dots to connect. And hey, it's also Beltane, the beginning May Day, marking the first day of the pagan festival of spring and renewal, of love and lust and planting and everything associated with a birth and renewal. So, Jalene Jordan, I wish you a happy May Day.
Well, and to you as well, Peter.
We should have workers, one guy in a suit, a woman in a hard hat, and sort of a hippie pagan dancing around a maypole.
That's a visual.
That's a visual. So, let's see. Oh, yeah. I'm really taking a risk here. I'm going to someone sent me a joke by email, and I always tell people, don't send me any jokes. And I'm telling you, I will block your address if you send me jokes, because we get so much email as it is at calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But I thought this one was pretty good.
But in this case.
Yeah, I'm telling you, don't start sending me jokes. Usually I don't even read them. I don't know why. Oh, this said it because it said Red Scare John Ashcroft Justice. So I didn't realize it was a joke. They tricked me.
Oh.
This is from Julie listening in Ann Arbor, and she sent this into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Now, here it is. Attorney General John Ashcroft is visiting an elementary school. After the typical civics presentation, he says, all right, boys and girls, you can ask me questions now. A young boy named Bobby raises his hand and says, I have two questions. One, how did Bush win the election with fewer votes than Gore? And two, Attorney General Ashcroft, why are you using the USA Patriot Act to limit American civil liberties? Just then the bell sounds and all the kids run out to the playground. 15 minutes later, the kids come back to the class, and John Ashcroft says, I'm sorry we were interrupted by the bell. Now, you can all ask me questions. A little girl raises her hand and says, I have four questions. One, how did Bush win the election with fewer votes than Gore? Two, why are you using the USA Patriot Act to limit American civil liberties? Three, why did the bell go off 20 minutes early? And four, where's Bobby?
Where's Bobby?
Oh, God. No? No smiles in our control room? Bobby's the kid that asked the first two questions. Then the bell rang.
Oh, Bobby's out of there.
Bobby
oh,
is no. gone.
All right. I didn't pay attention to the name as much.
Yeah,
I got
yeah.
it. Whoa.
All right.
Throw it away.
No more jokes. That's
no
it.
No more.
All righty then.
Oh, yeah. What commie said this? All right, let's take a stab in another direction. All right, this, folks, if you're just joining me on the Peter Werbe Show, because we have moved our time slot recently, we are now 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You can do the math all around the world. And what commie said this is where we give you a quote from someone, and it is pretty obviously some dastardly left-wing, unpatriotic, anti-American radical, like me, right?
Yeah.
Except I didn't say this. How about this? Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes. And armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the domination of the few. Phew. Right? This doesn't sound familiar, does it? It's war also. The discretionary power of the executive branch of government is extended. Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied. And all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect in republicanism may be traced in the inequality of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state of war, and in the degeneracy of manners and morals engendered by both. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. What commie said this?
I don't know.
Can we have our music, please? Oh, she can't find it. For some reason or other. There we go.
There
all right.
It is.
What commie said that?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I don't know, Peter.
Wasn't in the 21st century. Wasn't in the 20th century.
I don't know.
Wasn't in the 19th century. Okay, out of here with the
I
music.
I always thing. Guess and I'm always wrong, so I'm done guessing.
James Madison, the fourth president of the United States.
Ah.
Yeah. So these guys knew what they were talking about. So now when you look at what's going on, I mean, talk about bread and circuses, and we're really all we get in the political realm now, unlike Rome, that gave out bread as well. They're taking away the bread. And we're going to talk with William Grider, who's written an article in The Nation this week called The Right, this is the right wing, The Right's Grand Ambition, Rolling Back the 20th Century. But now we just have circuses. So Bush is heading off to California for this Iraq speech. Doesn't he have a house that we're paying for? Isn't it called the White House?
Yes.
Now, why the hell is he spending? You know how much this must cost? Do you have any idea, Jalene, what it must cost to get G.W. Bush on board this aircraft carrier, the Abraham Lincoln?
I don't.
But it ain't. I'll bet you it isn't hundreds, and I'll bet you it isn't thousands. I'll bet
right.
you it's tens of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Yeah. Now, you know what he was going to do? And get this story here. President Bush, that I'm quoting, who piloted a jet fighter in the Texas National Guard. They don't say anything about him going AWOL, essentially being a deserter from his post. Don't believe it. Don't give me a hard time. Go to AWOLBush.com. Read that and tell me if you still disagree. Anyway.
Tis the truth.
Tis the truth. They'll give you $10,000 if you can prove it's not true. They say he's a deserter, and you can make $10,000 if you can say he was a loyal member of the Texas Air National Guard.
And they haven't paid up yet, huh?
No. No, they haven't paid up at all. Bush wanted to relive the excitement today when he flies several hundred miles from San Diego to board the USS Abraham Lincoln as the aircraft carrier steamed home from Iraq. He wanted to fly out an F-18 fighter jet, but two seats, one for the pilot and one for the president. But Secret Service said, can't do it. So now it's just he and Ari Fleischer there, and they're going to be in this Navy S-3B Viking. Actually, it holds four. Yeah. So they're going to land on this aircraft carrier that's moving. And they're going to announce what? That major hostilities are over. Now, the problem is they can't declare that the war is at an end because this illegal war, this needless war, weapons of mass destruction, where are they? The Great Disappearing Act. That's why John Ashcroft has arrested David Copperfield, because he's the only person capable of making weapons of mass destruction, hundreds of tons of them, disappear. Right.
Yeah.
That's what our listener wrote into us the other day. So if they declare an end to the war, right, then they can't go on searching for the deck of cards, the guys actually representing the deck
really?
Of cards.
Oh,
yeah.
Really? Anyway, but meanwhile, civilians still
are being shot down by U.S.
Yeah.
Marines, still right. under shadowy circumstances. I'm looking at the front page of today's New York Times. And it says, Rumsfeld visits two cities in Iraq, meeting troops, tries to reassure Iraqis on U.S.'s intentions. Now, I don't know whether this was intentional or not, but next to him is this awful photograph of dead Iraqis laying in the streets of the city of Fallujah. Right?
Yeah.
And there
this
are
was
men.
Yesterday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that happened yesterday. The paper, though, is showing it today. Men just, you know, raising their arms in this show of grief. And you know how many rifles you can see in their hands? You guessed it. Zero.
None.
Yeah, none. So these men have been shot down, and I guess some children were shot down yesterday by the Marines, and this is because they took fire, right? And yet they shot down now almost a total of 100 people in this city of Fallujah, and the U.S. casualties from this assault by AK-47s and grenades, absolutely zero. What's going on here, folks?
Yeah, it's really strange circumstances, huh?
Indeed, yeah. Let's see, Rumsfeld visiting two cities in Iraq, meeting troops. Oh, yeah, this is this article. And what we have here, both on the part of Bush and on the part of Rumsfeld, is this triumphal imperial arrogance. This is so unworthy. It is like Mussolini after defeating Ethiopia in the 1930s. And, you know, if you think that is an untoward comparison, it'd be one thing to have had to have taken on a dirty job that that the United States did not want to do. I mean, I don't believe any of this for a second, but if this was in fact the case, if Saddam Hussein actually represented an imminent threat to the United States and to the people around them, mm-hmm. if there actually was a need to circumvent the rules of international law, if it actually was so dangerous for the United States that it had to become literally an outlaw nation, committing a crime against peace by violating the terms of international law, one would do that with grim determination. But instead, you have Jay Garner, the proconsul, the viceroy now of Iraq, saying, in fact, he was leaving this meeting, and his reporters were leaving, he called them back to make one last point. We ought to look in a mirror and get proud and stick out our chests and suck in our bellies and say, damn, we're Americans.
You will bow down to me as your ruler. You will obey my laws and you will be killed.
Wow. Oh, my. No, he's still beating the war drums. He's beating the manly Ooga booga drums.
The booga booga drums. And here are these people that, you know, in somebody else's country. Again, if this was forced upon the United States, a role that it did not want to take and reluctantly was going to destroy a tyrant that threatened other people and, you know, was this cruel tyrant, which that part is true, of course, then you would say, you know, but this. This is repellent. This is nothing but triumphal imperial arrogance. Arrogance of the worst type. And arrogance tied directly in to George W. Bush's reelection campaign.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
This circle.
Yeah, you know, I've been watching politics for a lot of years. And I've never seen anything this bad. This takes, you know, my father, who remembers back, he says, when he was a little child, to Coolidge. To Coolidge.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he was a little kid. But he said he has never seen anything like this in his entire life.
My gosh, Peter. That's saying a lot.
It is.
Between the two of you.
Yes. Here's Billy calling from Santa Cruz. He is sipping a latte as we speak. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Hi, Billy. Hey, Billy. Come on. You're swallowing a latte? Yeah.
You are in violation.
Is my car illegally parked outside?
No, much more importantly, you're in violation of the Patriot Act, too. You began this program today without a prayer. Aren't you aware it's National Prayer Day?
Is it?
While everyone else gets to support and be behind workers, we're behind God in America, goddammit! Where are you?
Hey, listen, you weren't listening well enough. I indicated that it was the pagan holiday of Beltane, which May Day marked. So I
More commie crap from
you people.
I am going to save your butt right now
and
offer a convocation prayer.
Go right ahead, sir.
May God bless and keep President Bush far away from us. That's a special California prayer.
Well, and he sang it.
Well, you've only got him for a few minutes, and then he is off to the USS Abraham Lincoln. I wonder if any of you military guys listening, how much would you estimate a flight on this Navy plane is going to cost? So you've got to fly Air Force One to San Diego, then flying out there. This little staged event, you know, and Bush is big on these staged events. Like
that makes for the other prayer.
Yeah, okay, wait, well, you know what? Stay with us, Billy, okay? Right. Because we got to take a break, and we'll be back. Remember, in about 14 minutes, it's William Grider investigative journalist, and he's going to be talking about the right-wing revolution, what George W. Bush is really all about. It ain't about war. It's not about parades. It's not about speeches on aircraft carriers. It's about rolling back the 20th century, and we're all going to be paying for it, except for his rich buddies. Jalene Jordan and Peter Werby, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES.
And now, our motivational speaker, Carl.
Who's ready to reach their inner winner?
Allergies have your sinuses congested? Afrin No-Drip Nasal Spray starts to relieve congestion instantly. Sudafed takes up to 30 minutes to start working. And after 4 hours, Afrin still does a better job keeping nasal passages open.
Ah, now I feel like a winner.
Breathe better in an Afrin instant. Use as directed. Compared to Sudafed maximum strength 60 milligrams.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Another lending success story from LendingTree.com.
I needed a new kitchen, which meant I needed a home equity loan. So I went to LendingTree.com. I filled out one simple form and got 4 offers back within hours. Then I got the loan I wanted. Oh, did I say loan? I meant kitchen.
Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. For additional information and state license disclosures, please visit our website located at LendingTree.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Zebra.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
All right. Joined by Jalene Jordan, and having had probably another latte, so who knows how freaked out on caffeine he'll be, Billy from Santa Cruz.
He's praying to us today.
Hello, girl.
Hello.
And hello, boy.
Hi.
Okay, so I've got one more prayer for you, and then I'll get out of the way.
Sure.
And by the way, I'd like to hear from all our other listeners, and if they have any good prayers for today, I think it'd be appropriate for them to call and share.
We need the Mark Twain war prayer.
There you go.
Yeah.
Here's my prayer, and it's, may God bless and keep George Bush. You know, George was so happy and got so much out of his baptism.
Yeah.
I'd like to see today that when he goes to fly onto this aircraft character,
Ray Dunham, and
I'm hoping he gets baptized again.
Wow.
What? What?
Get what I mean?
I don't know if I want to go there.
Why not?
Fish him out, though, right?
Well, yeah, yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
But I'd like for him to get, you know, to be reminded how frightening it is to have death at your doorstep. So he'd be, so he'd walk a little more gently around everybody that he, you know, uses his soldiers to shoot at and to destroy, that sort of thing.
Gotcha, Billy.
Come on, one more baptism.
All right. Okay. Gotcha. You're out of here. Wow. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Rumsfeld also in Kabul, Afghanistan. Man, he's just hopscotching the world, isn't he?
Yes.
And he declared that in the same status as Iraq. The major hostility is almost over. Does he know what's going on there? That there's,
I mean, really?
Tribal warfare and...
Are his people not filling him in?
Well, I think this is everything he says and everything that Bush says. And remember Dick Cheney? Where the hell is he?
Yeah, that's a real good question.
Yeah, we haven't heard from him in a long time, which is good. I mean, these guys are hard for me to listen to.
Yes.
Yeah, very hard for me
extremely.
To listen
Dick
to.
Dick Cheney's one of the worst.
Yeah, and so the less there are of them, the better. I mean, the less they, you know, they get on. let's see. So here is what Rumsfeld said in Baghdad. Addressing the population in a taped message to be broadcast on radio and television. Most of the electricity is still out, but be that what it may. Let me be clear. Iraq belongs to you. The coalition has no intention of owning or running Iraq.
Huh. Oh. Oh, okay.
And then we have this thing where Marines are shooting. Well, let me see the headline here. GIs killed two more protesters in an angry Iraqi city. And we know that the ex-head of Shell, I don't have his name right in front of me now, is going to be appointed interim head of oil assets in Iraq. So do they really think that all of this is going to continue to be nationalized oil the way it's been for the last 30 years? Or somehow will the American oil companies and the British oil companies, because what's the old phrase, to the victors go the spoils, right?
Yeah.
So I suspect that this is just, I don't even know who this is for, whether it's from, you know, the local rubes who would, it's probably for us, you know, us rubes. More than 20,000 troops are in the city patrolling in full battle gear, and many more on the streets as Rumsfeld's route while helicopters buzzed overhead. There are one or two random shootings a day, one senior officer said, and an attempt at a bank robbery nearly as often. Well, we move 40 truckloads of weapons out of the city each day, but security's improving.
Oh.
Yeah, that's good.
Improving. I mean, it should have been kind of, there should have been a plan for security in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Now, General Garner scolded reporters with Rumsfeld for dwelling on the shortcomings of the effort to restore civilian order and services to Iraq. Now, we have those shootings of civilians, and he said, yeah, I like it when he says, yeah. There are some demonstrations, but that's the first step in democracy, General Garner said. You're allowed to demonstrate.
Oh.
And then the police are allowed to shoot you down.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Here's Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Joe, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Yeah, well, I think that sucks that they make National Day of Prayer the same day as May Day. But here's my little prayer.
Yes.
For President Bush, Joe Lieberman, and John Kerry. And it goes like this. Fight me.
That is not a prayer.
But it was effective.
Well, you have to beseech some power, right?
Yeah.
That's directed at the people he mentioned. You're telling them, bite me, right? You have to say, dear Lord, or dear Shiva, or somebody like that.
Something.
Have them bit, or something like that. Or have them bite me. I don't know. All right.
Oh, that's fun.
Jim Hightower is next on the Peter Werby Show. Then William Grider. We're going to find out about the right-wing revolution. Man, it is ugly, but we're going to talk about how to roll it back. We'll be right back.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More disturbing evidence that rescue workers who spent time working in the rubble of the World Trade Center may face long-term serious health problems. A doctor who's performed full-body scans using sophisticated medical imaging equipment on some 250 New York City firefighters says nearly a third of them show signs of significant and permanent lung damage, which increases their risk of lung cancer. New York's Firefighters Union is now urging all firefighters to get the scans, but they are expensive and their health insurance doesn't cover the exam.
Twin marches of farm workers from across New York converged in Albany yesterday to demand changes to the state's labor laws. Richard Witt is director of Rural Migrant Ministries. He and others marched 330 miles to the state capitol to protest conditions faced by New York's mostly immigrant farm workers.
Farm workers are denied a day of rest, overtime pay, the right to bargain collectively, disability insurance, and a whole slew of other rights.
Witt says farm workers are backing a bill before the New York legislature that would provide a simple change to the state's labor law.
This omnibus bill would go through all of the labor law, and any time it excluded farm workers, it would remove that exclusion.
While some Republicans are backing the bill, Witt says the majority of legislators oppose such changes to New York's labor laws, though he hopes yesterday's rally helped to change that.
Leaders of major trade unions in Pakistan say they've uncovered a government plan to lay off 70,000 public sector workers in order to secure favorable loan terms from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. The mass layoffs are expected to hit Pakistan's state-run rail system, power plants, and oil and gas companies. The Pakistani government won't comment on the allegations.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Show. Call and talk to Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. Call 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and of course, apologies to the good witches, the Wiccan people of the world, on this pagan holiday of May Day, Beltane, the pagan festival of renewal. In just a minute, we're going to be talking with William Greider, author of an article in The Nation magazine. You can go to thenation.com and see it. It's the right wing's grand ambition rolling back the 20th century. A lot of people in the forefront of stopping that. One is Jim Hightower. Here he is on The Peter Werby Show.
Speaking for the Pentagon, Major Joe LaMarca said not long ago, "We don't practice propaganda in this country.
Of course not, Major, for that would be undemocratic and un-American. Propaganda is what nasty little evildoers practice, not us. As President George W. himself has informed us, we're the global good guys, the world's only omnipower, so we do not practice propaganda. Definitely not. Strategic communication, however, well, that's a different animal altogether, and we definitely do practice strategic communication. Indeed, you as an American citizen will probably burst with patriotic pride to learn that George W. has given the U.S. of A. its first ever Office of Global Communications. Without fanfare or even congressional authorization, he quietly signed an executive order on January 21st, and poof, there it was, a spiffy, slick, and shiny OGC operating out of the White House. We're told that it serves as a sort of mega public relations firm for the Bush administration, but it doesn't practice propaganda. Every morning it holds a global conference call with various officials to set the message of the day, but it doesn't practice propaganda. It issues official government language for the media to use to describe U.S. actions, but it doesn't practice propaganda. It pre-approves dramatic anecdotes for Bush and other officials to tell the media and the public, including anecdotes that turn out to be fabricated, but it doesn't practice propaganda. We know that the OGC doesn't practice propaganda because the head of the office tells us it doesn't. And we know we can trust him because he's Tucker Eskew, the Republican political operative who ran Bush's bare-knuckled primary election in South Carolina a couple of years ago. As we know, there's no propaganda in presidential elections, even in down-and-dirty ones like that one was. This is Jim Hightower saying, it's good to know that our own tax dollars are paying for an executive office that directs non-propaganda at us.
Hey, that's Jim Hightower on the Peter Werbe Show. You can hear more of Jim and by going to peterwerbe.com. No, you'll get me there. You go to jimhightower.com. Peter Werbe, PeterWerbe.com. We're looking for William Greider, Steph, our producer here in Detroit, and our phone screener and our board operator, engineer, is trying to scare up Bill Greider. Now, this article is in the Nation magazine. You go to thenation.com. It's called The Right's Grand Ambition, Rolling Back the 20th Century. And William Greider is a very, very interesting fellow. He has a great history in journalism, the author of numerous books, and also he's been a correspondent from, every front line to Rolling Stone. And he's actually been a reporter for more than 35 years, got several best-selling books on politics and economics as well. All right, well, we can't seem to get Bill. All right, well, we shall see what we shall see. Maybe we can get Jalene Jordan to rejoin us. Apparently, I see on the machine she has told Steph to keep on trying. A lot of times these guys have many different interviews during the day, you know, so maybe this one overlapped. I got this on email from Jim is in Santa Fe listening to KTRC, and he sent it in to calltalkyes at yahoo.com. And it's, let's see, where is this from? It's from Stu's Views. This is from the Boulder Weekly. Go to boulderweekly.com. That's a newspaper out in Boulder, Colorado. And what do you think about this? Give corporate war profits to the troops. Actually, Jim says, could be a movement, could be a song. But it's written by Walt Kramars, and he says, ordinary citizens suspecting economic motives behind the Iraq war are told that the time has passed for debate, and it's now incumbent upon all patriots, quote, to fall in line behind the president and support the troops. But, he says, but what about corporate citizens poised to profit from the sacrifice of our troops? Shouldn't it also be incumbent upon them to support the troops? Now, here's what he's proposing, something called the Corporate Patriot Act. It would require all corporations financially benefiting directly or indirectly from the Iraq War to donate all resulting profits to the families of the brave American troops who've made the supreme sacrifice. Those troops injured or disabled as a result of the war. And lastly, the American taxpayers who have financed the war from our national treasury. So what do you think about that? Sounds like a damn good idea to me. The Corporate Patriot Act, and what it would mean, rather than Halliburton, you know, that's Cheney's corporation, he's still getting $1 million a year, Bechtel, or Bechtel, as some of you would like to have it, which is George Shultz's company, he was all big in promoting the war. So it gives the direct appearance that these corporate fat cats, these pals of George Bush Sr. and Jr., are directly benefiting from the horrific war against Iraq, the 170 or so deaths. We haven't even heard that figure lately of American and British troops, and the thousands, probably the 10,000 Iraqi civilian casualties of killed and injured. So rather than sending the profits from these men who wanted the war and their corporations that promoted this war going to their already wealthy stockholders, here's what this columnist is saying. Let's take the profits from Halliburton. Let's take the profits from Bechtel and all the rest of these corporations that are pigs at the trough and putting them, hey, where? Putting them in the hands of the people that fought there, particularly the men and women that are going to bear the scars of this for the rest of their lives, and refunding a lot of it to us, the taxpayer. I think that's a damn good idea. Well, no luck on William Grider, huh? Well, what a bad guy. Maybe there's a good excuse. Hey, you know, a lot of times people get all mixed up about time zones and everything like that. You know, maybe since we have this couple of minutes here, maybe we could play John Lucas's song. Is that ready to go? All right. I was listening to the Nancy Skinner Show. And that is a hoot. Nancy gets up. She must get up at 3:30 in the morning. She's the co-host of the Doug Steffen Show here on the IE America Radio Network. And she does that from, what, 5:30 to 10 a.m. Then she has her own show here on the IE America Radio Network from 10 a.m. till noon. And so I hear this song that she's playing, and John Lucas, our production director here, and I'm thinking, wow, where did they get this song? It seems so really right up to date. Then it turned out it was John Lucas himself. So here it is on the Peter Werby Show.
At first it was so easy. All I had was money and time. I could sit and watch the telly with the B2s and the bombing. But then that statue fell. That gave me to hell. I got the nation building me. I got the nation building me. I got the nation building blues. I got the nation building me. Who's this guy thinks he's the mayor? Every town head in town thinks he's a mayor. Don't you know we're on a mission? Ain't that looking Christians? I got the nation building me. I got the nation building me. I got the nation building blues. I got the nation building me. Come on, big tail. Turn on the power. We all smell bad. Many soldiers need a shower. Get the oil snorts from the hurts of my pouring. I got the nation building blues. 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 I thought a man was to lobby. Old-fashioned shield. With them darn convictions, though, we don't fit the bill. I can't stop the shooting. The Iraqis keep on looting. I got the nation building blue. I got the nation building blue.
I got the nation building blue.
I got the nation building blue.
That's John Lucas, IE America's own, on the Peter Werby Show. Wow. I got the nation building blues. I didn't know I had a voice that deep. Of course, with this modern technology, who knows? Hey, thank you, John Lucas. All right, William Grider seems to be lost in cyberspace. We're going to keep looking for him, maybe reschedule him for 3 o'clock or 3:30 Eastern time as we continue. You know, I was really remiss at the beginning of the show. We were playing What Commie Said That, where I read you a quote and we try to figure out what unpatriotic, anti-American, dirty, red, leftist, pinko commie said this, right? And the quote, of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded. And I said, no, of course, we couldn't identify it. It was too hard. It was the fourth president of the United States, James Madison. And what I was remiss about is that this was in an article by Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman, the newest addition to the IE America Radio Network. Network staff here, and he hosts the show noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time. And he has a wonderful, very, 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 very well said in the way he does on his show, thought-provoking article in CommonDreams.org, CommonDreams.org. And it's called The Crime of the Century, A Never-Ending War Against Terrorism. And what he says essentially is George W. Bush and the sinister gang running our country now, manipulating us to in a manner I have never, ever seen before on behalf of the wealthy and the corporations, is that they are acting out this script of unending war and bringing with it everything, every possible misadventure a nation could experience, as James Madison said, 200 years ago almost. All right, if you'd like to join me, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. This spectacle of arrogant imperial triumphalism, you can put that any way you want. Arrogant imperial triumphalism, imperial triumphal arrogance, any way you look at it. This is what's going on with the tour of the victors. Of course, it was a victory over this pathetic, unarmed, not only no weapons of mass destruction, virtually no armaments whatsoever to repel this illegal invasion by the United States. It's working out just splendid now, isn't it? Well, this hasn't all borne out. And the idea that Rumsfeld would be in Afghanistan saying things are going splendidly there, he must not be reading any reports other than that are being given him by the ex-UNICAL employee who is now the president of Afghanistan. Warring tribes, warlords dominant, women forced back into the burqas, and on and on and on. The situation anywhere near stable. American troops still coming regularly under fire. Americans in the same manner they're doing in Iraq, firing and killing Afghan civilians. This is a total mess, and I think it could very easily come unraveled. And there are so many elements that could come unraveled for Bush. The economy, September 11th. What did Bush know, and when did he know it? The results of the commission being blocked, doing everything they can to make sure that the results of the September 11th commission come in after the election, manipulatively holding a New York convention later than any Republican Party has in 100 and some years in order to conflate it with the anniversary. Here, you and me, ordinary citizens, thinking of the tragedy, the horror, the anger, the bewilderment, the fear, everything that we felt on September 11th. And some people, have tattooed on their arms, September 11th, never forget. Well, whether you feel that strongly or not, most of us are never going to ever forget that. And when it's seen through the eyes of the Bush machine, the sinister gang in Washington, they see it simply as a way to manipulate our emotions, to make us forget what's really going on in this country, that it's going to hell in a handbasket. That our civil liberties are being diminished, that jobs are disappearing, that job rates of unemployment are growing, that the environment is under constant assault, that the wage structures that have been in place on this May Day, the commemorating when the police shot down workers in the streets of Chicago because they wanted an 8-hour day, that the 8-hour day itself is under attack. We're going to talk about that at 4:30. We have a little segment called Working for a Living. Working for a Living. And we're going to talk with Frank Emspach of the Workers Independent News Service that you hear on the half hour. Now, I heard Mike Malloy. Mike Malloy is in a new time slot. He's 9 p.m. to midnight. This is where he wanted to be, and he's roaring. He says, I can talk a little more freely at night, and he says the nighttime's the right time. So he was talking the other night. I was listening to his show, and he was talking about Bush's 70% approval rating. And, everything passes. Remember, Poppy had that as well, and the kid had that as, that's why, one of the reasons why he invented the crisis of Iraq back in August of, he didn't, his handlers, the people that have their hand up the back of the sock puppet. They invented this crisis around Iraq and told us, we were in imminent danger, made up these huge lies. These enormous lies that they told to the American people, that Bush repeated during the sorry State of the Union address, that Colin Powell lied about in front of the United Nations. These weren't errors. These weren't mistakes. These were purposeful, blatant lies. The mendacity of this administration is unknown in American history. Anyways, so Malloy was saying 70% approval rating for Bush. And this included 53% of the Democrats. 53% of the Democrats said they approve of George W. Bush, this man that is attacking the core values of Democratic voters. 90% of the Republicans, hey, they love it. They think things are just going well. But, you know, one of the reasons is the absolute disappearance almost of the Democratic Party. Well, they're kind of squabbling a little about who's going to be the pathetic candidate to run against GW in the reelection campaign. Other than that, policy statements, maybe once in a while a little talk about a health program here or there. John Kerry said time for regime change here and got a lot of flack for it. But for all practical purposes, there's no such thing as an opposition party. There's nobody speaking for the tens of millions of us that realize that that what we're looking at is an administration based on thievery and trickery. Thievery and trickery. So it's pretty easy for people that don't do much other than watch television, that don't make the efforts that a lot of you do to figure out what's going on in our world, to say, oh, yeah, I guess he's doing a pretty good job. That's why we need our mass movements, to speak in a unified voice. And you know that bumper sticker? If the people lead, the leaders will follow. And head to hell, they won't follow. We've got ourselves. All right, Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, we're at 1-800-TALK-YES, and I'll be right back.
This May, Aleve invites you to join us in the fight against arthritis, the country's number one cause of disability. That's when Aleve will partner with the Arthritis Foundation to sponsor the annual Arthritis Walk. When you join the walk, you'll help Aleve and the Arthritis Foundation in their efforts to control, prevent, and cure this crippling disease that affects one in every three Americans. For more on the Arthritis Walk and Aleve's all-day arthritis relief, go to Aleve.com and join the team to fight arthritis. Use Aleve as directed.
Are you wondering how to prosper in our so-called muddle-through economy? Experts say that gold is now the buy of a generation. Hi, I'm Christopher Kent, host of Antique Talk, and I'd like to introduce you to Swiss America, the company that's helping America to rediscover gold. Now, I'm no expert on the economy or on gold, but I am an expert on antiques and collectibles. And Swiss America is the leader in the United States collectible coin market, which has a very impressive track record over the past 30 years. But before you launch out into rare coins, the first step is to get educated. So please, write this number down, 1-800-289-2646, which spells 1-800-BUY-COIN. That's BUYCOIN. Ask for a free copy of The New Gold Rush. It'll help you understand this emerging gold rush so you can stake your claim and tell them Christopher Kent told you to call.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste, we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal!
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door, it's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Mom, Dad,
someone's going to try and get me to take drugs.
Want to do something about it? You're going to have to make me tell you where I am and who I'm with every day.
Don't like the sound of that?
Tuck, you got to be the grown-up.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them, who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug.
Call 1-800-729-6686 for more information. Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying greens.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
Corby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com. From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to ieamericaradio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
That's right, Solidarity rocks on this May Day, the International Workers' Holiday. It ain't Prayer Day, it ain't Law Day here on the Peter Werby Show. Hey, Jalene Jordan.
Hey, Peter.
It's International Workers' Day and also Beltane, the pagan holiday of renewal.
I have a lot of pagan friends.
Really?
Oh, yeah, they're into it. They're, you know, is it Dianic? Does that go along with pagan? Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Dianic. Bill, our webmaster, and I have talked about this before. Dianic witches. And you know, I've never attended any of their festivities, but I'm sure they would be gloriously fun.
I'm sure some of our listeners are probably saying, well, there you go. That's the final proof, you know.
They just worship the earth.
Yeah,
you know, pretty
right,
much. I mean,
right.
They go with nature.
Gaia. Right? That's when we say, you know, thank. When I say thank Gaia. You know, it's not like an accident or anything like that.
Right.
Let's see. Here is email from Gary. He wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He said, hey, look on the positive side, Peter. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what he's referring to. At least gas will come down to $1.25 a gallon. Who cares if Detroit still looks like a war zone? Services cut for war veterans, 500,000 jobs lost. At least they can afford to drive around all day looking for jobs that aren't there.
Hey.
Yeah, and I was thinking that. You know, it's funny that he said that Detroit looking like a war zone. This area around us does. There's just burnt out houses and, you know, these.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
I remember, in fact, my poor mother, when I drove her down to the network, you know, from Des Moines, Iowa, she's thinking, oh, Lord, I can't believe you get here every day safely.
Yeah, well, but we're rebuilding Iraq. Now, remember that we said, let me see if I can fish this one up. We were talking about this, oh, yeah, here it is, about this stew. Now, why is this Stew's Views? But it's by Walt Kramartz. Anyways, he's got this idea that we ought to create this Corporate Patriot Act, which would require all corporations financially benefiting directly or indirectly directly from the Iraq war to donate all profits to the families of the American troops who have made the supreme sacrifice. Oh, I see what they're saying, the ones that have died, to the families. Right now, you know what they get? You know what they get? They get something like $8,000. I forgot what the figures were. They get about
that's the value.
Yeah, and they get like and part of it's taxable, and they get like one-time burial fee of $1,000, and they get a bit of money for their kids if there's kids up until the kids are 18. That's really terrible.
Yeah, that is.
Anyways, and also then turn it back to our national treasuries that, you know, it's been looted for this war for Bush's corporate friends. Bill, listening in Chicago, he writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com, if the corporations had to give profits from the war back to the government, creative accounting would take over and there would be no profits. Remember creative accounting? Archie, that's right. Archer Anderson. What was the name of that? Archer? How soon we
Arthur
forget?
Anderson.
Arthur, yeah.
Dick Cheney's.
Yeah, Dick Cheney's.
Love their
creative
accounting.
Enron guys got a little bit of indictment here. What about Ken Lay? What about Ken?
And Fastel's wife.
Yeah. What about Kenny Baby?
Kenny Boy.
We'll be right back. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. The president is heading west for a rendezvous with troops aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln.
Aboard the aircraft carrier tonight, President Bush will tell the nation that the major combat operations in Iraq are over. Before leaving, the president called the past month another time of testing for America.
Americans prayed that war would not be necessary, and now pray that peace will be just and lasting.
The president was taking part in a National Day of Prayer ceremony at the White House. He called prayer an integral part of our national life. I'm Terry Moore in Washington.
Secretary of State Colin Powell is thanking Spain for help in the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Madrid was Powell's first stop in a trip to Europe and the Middle East. U.S. troops in Afghanistan have moved from major combat operations to reconstruction. That was the word today from Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld as he met with Afghan President Hamid Karzai in Kabul. Rumsfeld is winding down his tour of several Persian Gulf nations. One of Hollywood's hottest lawyers may take the Scott Peterson case.
Mark Garagus is best known for representing such high-profile clients as former Congressman Gary Condit, actress Winona Ryder, and actor Robert Downey Jr. Now, Garagus is talking with Scott Peterson about replacing his public defender team in his trial on charges of murdering his wife and unborn baby. Garagus told the Larry King Live show last night he believes Lacey Peterson was killed by a predator at a Modesto park on Christmas Eve Day, and that Scott Peterson is innocent.
I don't think that there's any doubt that I believe in him. And in a case like this, that's always a helpful thing.
Peterson goes back to court tomorrow to ask the judge to allow Garagus to represent him at trial. In Sacramento, I'm Steve Fredericks.
More in a moment.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol.
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dent is strong, so the pain is gone.
Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. Brought to you by Geico Auto Insurance.
You have good sense, Eleanor.
And you're very sensible, Marianne.
I wish I was married.
Me too.
How is Geico able to guarantee my claim repairs and still save me money?
Doesn't really make sense, does it?
You should know.
Guaranteed claim repairs for as long as you own your car. And you could save 15% on car insurance. Call GEICO today at 1-800-947-AUTO. That's 1-800-947-AUTO.
The Enron Task Force has announced new indictments and new suspects in their criminal investigation of the energy giant's collapse.
The grand jury in the Southern District of Texas has brought new charges against Andrew Fastow, the former Enron chief financial officer, charged for the first time Ben Glisson, the former Enron treasurer, with securities fraud, wire fraud, and conspiracy to commit those crimes.
The task force paints a picture of a company and executives who invented shell companies, lied about profit, and attempted to cheat on their taxes. More after this.
There are over 70 million Americans who suffer from arthritis. But for arthritis pain relief, there's only one Aleve, the medicine more and more doctors are recommending for all-day relief of pain. Doctors know Aleve can stop tough pain all day with fewer pills than Tylenol. And Aleve works right at the site of arthritis to provide fast, effective relief. Get relief doctors recommend. Aleve, arthritis pain relief that's all day strong, all day long. Use as directed for minor arthritis and is based on minimum 24-hour label dosing.
The reaction of Delta Airline pilots has been muted regarding the company's request that they agree to a 22% salary cut.
Delta is hemorrhaging red ink, and management wants to cut pilot pay and have them forego pay raises set for this year in 2004. Captain Mike Pinho, spokesman for Delta's pilots, calls the company's request substantial in nature. The union's wrapping up an analysis of Delta's balance sheet. That and the pay issue will be on the table Monday, when the union's master executive council meets in San Diego.
We'll not only discuss the results of the financial analysis of Delta's financial condition, but we'll discuss that analysis in conjunction with Delta's recent proposal.
Delta's probably the highest paid in the industry, and management has said that concessions are insolvent. Don Dornberg, Atlanta.
American worker productivity grew in the first quarter of the year, but was weaker than predicted. The Labor Department reports non-farm productivity rose 1.6% from January through March. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Every era is known for its protests. In the 70s, it was anti-war. In the 80s, anti-fur. And when I come back, I'll peacefully demonstrate for a 90s revolution that's still the rage. And I lock brakes.
Doug is frugal.
Well, money doesn't grow on trees, you know.
The problem is Doug is about to buy a used car.
Yep, and I'm going to get ripped off!
And Doug doesn't know about Carfax, which lets you check a used car's history to see if it's been in an accident, has accurate mileage, stuff like that. So you know your money's well spent.
So I might save thousands?
Exactly, Doug. Just go to CARFAX.com or ask your dealer for a Carfax vehicle history report.
Hey, how about we go halvesies on the car?
How about nunsies?
How about somesies?
No. Carfax, the truth about used cars.
As the saying goes, you've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Well, anti-lock braking systems, or ABS, stands firmly for stopping and against locking. ABS originated in the aircraft industry, where stopping big, fast planes on short runways is critical. Adapted for panic stopping in cars, this sophisticated system uses a computer to sense when wheels are about to lock, then automatically regulates braking action. Now, don't protest. With anti-lock brakes, forget pumping. Just press firmly and let ABS do the rest. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome to the Peter Werby Show, where we dare to connect the dots. Call now at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and welcome, everybody. Pleasure to be with you in the second hour of the Peter Werby Show. Hi, Jalene Jordan. Thank you for joining me as well.
Well, of course.
Well, we never found William Grider, did we?
It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was telling you, Peter, I confirmed it twice.
Yeah, this is a guest with an extraordinarily important story. It's in The Nation magazine this week. You can go to thenation.com, William Grider, and read it. It's rolling back the 20th century. It's about the right-wing revolution. It's about what George W. Bush and the sinister gang in Washington has prepared for the American people. And so what we're getting now is this triumphal imperialism, or this imperial triumphalism, or this arrogant imperial triumphalism, or this imperial arrogant triumphalism.
It's your choice.
Yeah, right. But all in all, it is so unbefitting a nation that has just trounced this small third world country that, as we've come to find out, represented no threat to absolutely anyone or any country, and certainly not to the United States.
Now, has anyone, no one's been arguing with us on that one lately.
Yeah, and it's going to be on television tonight. And I wonder whether people are going to... the speech from the USS...
What time is he on?
I have no idea, because I'm not going to watch.
If he... breaks into my Survivor again, I am going to be really hot.
Oh, man. I don't even want to talk about this.
Peter, listen, you know, when you think about politics all day long and you do this, you've got to have a little brain mush. Once a week, give it to me.
There's no more brain mush than what we're going to see with George W. Bush being flown by a Navy fighter jet onto the deck of this. He wanted to fly an F-18. You know, he had a pilot. He's probably forgotten how to fly, particularly since he was AWOL for a year. in the early 1970s, right? Don't believe me? Go to AWOL.com. AWOL Bush. AWOLBush.com.
See for yourself.
See for yourself. Now, Nicholas Horak, he writes, What Legacy for George W.? He's the UPI chief White House correspondent. I can't believe he's saying this. He's not going to be the chief after Ari reads this. Horak, H-O-R-R-O-C-K.
Okay.
He says there's always been a dubious reading of history in the Bush administration. That's enough to get his butt out of there. Sort of like a History Channel documentary with lots of images and some quick analysis. George W. Bush Thursday will step to the deck of the USS Abraham Lincoln to announce the end of, quote, major combat operations in Iraq as the giant aircraft carrier sails towards its home port of San Diego.
Could you just gag?
Yeah. The plan has the ring of the Public Relations Department. Gee, I guess so. The Abraham Lincoln's aircraft opened hostilities against Iraq, and somebody remembered the unconditional Japanese surrender that ended World War II was signed on the decks of the battleship Missouri that had led the long march to Tokyo. So all this imagery, this is what I'm always talking about, how you're manipulated by the imagery generated by this elite, by these few. And that's the difference with talk radio. Ultimately, no one is bamboozled by me, whether you support what I'm saying completely, support half of it, or none of it. You know, I'm just a guy, a single guy, and Jalene, you, a single woman, actually a married woman, with
and you're married,
yes,
too.
Yes, right. With
you're soliciting.
Yeah, right. One person. You know, we're just one person, and nobody gives us any more slack than we deserve. But somehow, the imagery generated by the spectacle of television, well, man, and particularly, they have the masters of it. And they're doing it with our money. How much? And, you know, I never got an answer on this. One of you people that have been in the military, what do you think the cost is of shipping George W. Bush from Washington to San Diego above Air Force One, board Air Force One, and then taking this Navy jet off over to the USS Abraham Lincoln and everything that goes with it? It's got to be tens of thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
in the meantime,
Detroit,
I can walk out this door and see a war zone. They're closing the great portions of the recreation department in Detroit because the city doesn't have enough money.
No.
And yet, and you know, the amount of money probably spent on this public relations scam of George W. Bush's tonight would probably be enough to keep the Coleman Young's recreation center open.
That's very sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let me see. Nicholas Horak, who probably is going to be the ex-chief White House correspondent for UPI.
At this point.
Yeah. From the terrorist attacks of September 11th on, World War II has been like a rhetorical attic trunk for Bush. He has rummaged through to find words like liberate and allies in comparison of Saddam Hussein to Adolf Hitler. Those against Bush's war said his Texas ally, Representative Tom DeLay, were appeasers, a word without much meaning since Munich in 1938. These people are really awful.
Yeah.
They are vile to the
vile,
core.
Repulsive.
Yes, let's come on, let me think. What's another word here? Bad.
Just bad.
Bad to the core. Bad to the bone. Yeah. Here, Chris in Indianapolis, he writes into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Will I watch George Bush tonight? Hell no. All this will be a photo op for a 2004 campaign. Odds that this will show up in some campaign commercial in 12 to 14 months. We're paying for this? Through tax money? If history were to repeat, as it sometimes does, he would disappear for the last part of the flight, much as he did for his first stint as a pilot. He'd then show up somewhere in San Diego, most likely in a bar, and would not answer questions when people asked him where he was. Actually, I think he wants to get the feeling of what it was like to serve the military, since he really hasn't done that before.
Yeah, he wants to kind of, I don't know, make himself feel a little more connected since he left.
That's right. That's nice. Here's Ken in Falconer, New York. Ken, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Hey, Ken, you with us? Ken, either you're with us or against us. All right, we're going to put you back on hold.
Didn't you get that message?
I got it.
The memo?
I got it, yeah. Ken, hi. Now you're on. Go ahead.
You must have had the pot down or something or not clicked in.
Yeah.
By the way, I talked to you a couple of days ago, and you were having a problem there, and I found out something. Your listeners will probably want to know this. If you've got a Sirius radio, if you try to operate the phone at the same time, sometimes they don't like each other.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. That's what all that noise was. I probably sound a lot better now.
Better. Not good, but better.
I really am interested in that Corporate Patriot Act. In fact, when you asked me my favorite website, I've forgotten to mention one. They've got something about corporate responsibility on there right now. Have you ever been to politicalpulpit.com?
You know, I have seen it once. Yeah,
a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you punch up the scribe, Yale Scribe, he has a weird, funny take on some stuff, and he's doing something called Laughter and Tears. And if you scroll down to the second part of it, he does a spoof of the Wizard of Oz, and the flying monkeys are run by George W. Bush, and Dorothy and the Tin Man gets his oil squeezed out by George W., and a couple other things. It's really kind of funny.
Well, you know where that flying monkey thing lands, right? That's on the Mike Malloy Show. He talks about the flying monkey right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so he's got it. So, Ken, you're listening on Sirius Left, stream 145 on Sirius Satellite Radio, huh?
Yes, and I really get a kick out of it. I just got this radio, and I'm having a blast with it.
Well, thanks for joining us.
Well, have a fun day.
All right, bye now. Yeah, bye. Happy May Day to you. That's Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S. You want to get this on your radio in your car or truck? Hey, we've got every left-wing trucker plus some in America listening. Yeah, so go to Sirius.com. That'll get you there. And what Ken was just talking about is not actually a serious statute that's being proposed. It would be the Corporate Patriot Act, and it was suggested in the Boulder Weekly, and it says that the Corporate Patriot Act would require all corporations financially benefiting directly or indirectly from the Iraq War to donate all their profits to the families of those troops who made the supreme sacrifice, who died, 170 of them, or some of those, I guess, are British. Then the troops injured or disabled as a result of the war, and lastly, the American taxpayers who financed the war from our national treasury. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think we're going to get anybody introducing a bill like that. But come on, folks. I always depend on you to know more than I do when I don't know something. So call 1-800-TALK-YES. An estimate, if you will. Some of you have been in the military and in the Air Force. What is going to be the cost of this absolutely unnecessary trip by George W. Bush from the White House to this aircraft carrier? This stage-managed event to give it this incredible drama. And there won't be a newscaster in America that will dare to say that George W. Bush at least stands accused, if not the newscaster have the nerve to say it, accused of being a deserter that didn't show up for a year. That will say to you, as this program does, go to awolbush.com and see the truth about the man who is the commander-in-chief. And to think that they had the nerve to disparage Bill Clinton for draft dodging.
Yeah, really.
He opposed that war. George W. Bush, he thought it was just wonderful, except he didn't want to go over and fight it.
Yeah.
He had his rich daddy get him in the Air National Guard, of course.
Oh, that's an easy thing to do.
Oliver's listening in Baltimore, Maryland. He wrote into Call Talk Yes. He says, hopefully we'll have regime change in this country after the next election. We're not in wartime now, so it's okay to speak your mind again, right? Do we get to go back to the way of life in this country the way it used to be soon? Remember when the government needed a reason to spy on you? Then he says, Gebhardt's health plan is pure genius. And we haven't really looked at that or talked about it, have we?
No, huh?
I guess I've been kind of disgusted by the Democrats, so I haven't. Sorry, folks. I know a lot of
people. Put them out of your mind.
I love Democrats, rank and file Democrats. I just don't like the Democratic Party. Yeah. That was a party that was active in the 20th century, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Peter says, Chris, writing into Call Talk, yes, at yahoo.com. I contend that if we don't hear from Cheney, we haven't heard from Cheney in a long time. Chris says he's up to no good. Maybe he's planning the invasion of Syria or Iran. I'd rather have him out in the open so we can keep an eye on him.
He makes a good point.
So the war is over, so you can start buying Dixie Chicks albums again, although I don't think the boycott of them hurt much. They seem to be going along full speed ahead.
Yeah.
You can start saying okay to Tim Robbins and Susan Sarandon and Martin Sheen. Well, I better not name all the rock and movie stars. It'll take us the rest of the hour, the people that were opposed to the war, right? But get this. This was in the business section of USA Today, just today. Boycott grinds on against French food, wine, and travel. The war is over, says Bruce Horowitz in USA Today, so the French boycott should be toast, right? Wrong. France continues to take it on the chin and in the gut. Nearly 1 in 5 Americans who regularly buy French products say they have stopped because of France's outspoken opposition to the war in Iraq. You know, this is kind of, although they attribute it to a USA Today CNN Gallup poll, this just doesn't seem too probable in lots of ways, because the enthusiasm for the war during the run-up was real limited. I mean, people would say, he had something to do with September 11th, and I think we should get the job over. But the amount of enthusiasm was just among hardcore Republicans, real far-right-wing wackos. So the fact that See, it hit everything from travel to wine sales, the unloading of French stocks by American investors.
Cheese, big time.
Cheese.
The Roquefort family.
Oh, you had me smiling. I smiled when you said that.
Oh, good. Yeah. You take command as well.
Cheese, eh? But maybe they're right. You say that the French government tourist office estimates that France will lose about $500 million in American tourist business this year for a variety of reasons. Well, I wonder what all the reasons are. So, I'm going to have to keep buying French wine then. You know, I don't like it. Yeah, I don't like it as well. I mean, I don't buy really expensive wine. I buy wine. I always buy under $10. Sorry to disappoint any of you who think that I'm a high liver. I want to actually keep my liver. So.
Well, yeah, true. But any good wine connoisseur will tell you you can find good wine at a, you know, less expensive price.
Yeah, I think
price.
You can get good stuff under $10. So I think that the Australian wine under $10, and remember, Australia was one of the few countries that actively supported the United States. I said later for them.
Yep, true.
And California wines, which I love. I didn't have any reason to boycott them, but I said, I'm going to drink French wines. They're not as good, but I got to keep drinking them. Oh, well.
Someone's got to drink.
More when we come back. Peter Werby, Jalene Jordan. We're at 1-800. Talk yes.
Free. Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste, we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Twix. Yo, this is Ed Lover.
This is Dr. Dre.
That's right, we in the mix for Twix, baby. Here's the mix.
Ed, I'm gonna tell you right now, all from state to state, it's all about the mix.
You understand? That's how it's going down. Ed Lover and Dr. Dre style. Through the street, just doing my thing. I need the Twix to keep me in the mix, in the swing. When I want to stay real good in the mix,
come on, y'all. Brush your Twix.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. Barbara Ehrenreich. To people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network delivers progressive information and entertaining programming throughout the week and weekends. The Doug Steffen Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen Wizards Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Rambling with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Welcome back to the Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thanks a lot, Jalene Jordan. Welcome back. So maybe we ought to put these questions out. We've just been kind of rambling on, or my being bad at including you in this.
I ramble right along with you.
1-800-TALK-YES. And are you going to watch George W. Bush that has flown for this expensive spectacle to the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln to tell us that the major fighting against Iraq, this third-rate power in this third-world country that we now know represented no danger whatsoever to the people of the region, to the people of the region. You can talk about the liberation for all you want. We don't even know if that's actually going to be what comes about. We'll have to hold that in abeyance. Right now it's being dominated by the U.S., functioning essentially as a colonial power. It's run by Jay Garner, the proconsul or viceroy. They're sending over an ex-shell president in order to run the oil industry. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, what a racket.
It really is.
It is just a total racket. And do I have that real quick?
In our face.
In our face. Know? And here's what Jay Garner says. He is so pumped up with this triumphal imperial arrogance that he talked to these reporters. He scolded them for saying that there were shortcomings in the efforts to restore civilian order. And he said, yeah, there's some demonstrations, but that's the first step to democracy. When you shoot down, what'd you say about the truth? No reason I say that. I can interrupt that to give you Mike, who wrote into Call Talk Yes's view on this. New word for you to describe the Bush regime, mendacious. Remember, I was talking earlier about mendacity. Mendacious, given to or characterized by deception or falsehood or divergence from absolute truth. Synonym C, dishonest. The mendacious, sinister regime in Washington, D.C. There? Like that?
Mm-hmm,
Don't like it? Too bad. You can just call us at 1-800-TALK-YES. Yes, I mean, I can say what I want. This is America, for
Thank
Gaia's
you.
Sake.
For we say Gaia's sake.
Gaia's sake, yeah, because it's Beltane.
Yes, it is.
Some people, rather than listening to us, are dancing around a maypole in states of half dress.
Well, lucky them.
Yeah, right. Proconsul Garner says, yeah, there's some demonstration. That's the first step in democracy. You're allowed to demonstrate. And then our troops are allowed to shoot you down. Right?
Yeah.
As reporters were leaving, he called them back. Hey, hey, come on back. Hey, I'm not done. We ought to look in a mirror, he says, and get proud. Stick out our chests and suck in our bellies and say, damn, we're Americans.
God, that's just so gross. It's just like, I don't know. It just continues. It just keeps coming at us.
I can't think of the words really to describe that. I mean, you can think of mendacious. You can use these big phrases like triumphal imperial arrogance. This is similar, not on the part of the troops. You know, the average troop, no matter who you are, no matter whether you're in one of the enemies of the United States or the troops of our land, each of them goes out because they were sent. Sometimes they get swept up in the sense of the war and the importance of it, but there's not a single soldier said, I got an eye to invade so-and-so. So when the Italian troops invaded this pathetic, poverty-stricken country of Ethiopia in the 1930s, because Mussolini wanted some triumphal imperialist adventure, then when they were using airplanes and Lassi's troops were on horseback, slaughtered these tribesmen and then returned home to Rome, you know, with this huge victory parade. That's what this is tonight. Let's go to Don outside of Washington, D.C. Don, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
You know, I don't know. I was calling to say that I resent you calling an out-and-out liar a nice word like mendacious.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm just reading this BuzzFlash site about Bush's National Guard record. you know, he has the gall of representing himself as, I don't know, a patriotic American willing to make sacrifices for. I mean, he's just full of crap.
Well, that's cutting right to it. Why worry about big words like mendacious when we can get right down to it? Don, I got to take a break. Are you done? Do you want to stick around?
No, I just had to run my mouth.
That's good. That's what we're here for. Thanks for joining us at 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. We got to get a debate going. We're going to give the other side a chance. When we come back, it's going to be Bush versus Bush. Okay. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're listening to The Peter Werby Show, 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Laura Miller.
More disturbing evidence that rescue workers who spent time working in the rubble of the World Trade Center may face long-term serious health problems. A doctor who's performed full-body scans using sophisticated medical imaging equipment on some 250 New York City firefighters says nearly a third of them show signs of significant and permanent lung damage, which increases their risk of lung cancer. New York's Firefighters Union is now urging all firefighters to get the scans, but they are expensive and their health insurance doesn't cover the exam.
Twin marches of farm workers from across New York converged in Albany yesterday to demand changes to the state's labor laws. Richard Witt is director of Rural Migrant Ministries. He and others marched 330 miles to the state capitol to protest conditions faced by New York's mostly immigrant farm workers.
Farm workers are denied a day of rest, overtime pay, the right to bargain collectively, disability insurance, and a whole slew of other rights.
Witt says farm workers are backing a bill before the New York legislature that would provide a simple change to the state's labor law.
This omnibus bill would go through all of the labor law, and any time it excluded farm workers, it would remove that exclusion.
While some Republicans are backing the bill, Witt says the majority of legislators oppose such changes to New York's labor laws, though he hopes yesterday's rally helped to change that.
Leaders of major trade unions in Pakistan say they've uncovered a government plan to lay off 70,000 public sector workers in order to secure favorable loan terms from the World Bank and International Monetary Fund. The mass layoffs are expected to hit Pakistan's state-run rail system, power plants, and oil and gas companies. The Pakistani government won't comment on the allegations.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
This is the hand. The hand that takes. Here come the planes. They're American planes. Made in America. Cause when love is gone, there's the least justice, and when justice is gone, only mom. And you're the hummer in your automatic car, your electronic car, your petrochemical car.
The Peter Werby Show, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, Jalene Jordan. I guess we can talk to Bill Greider. Is that right?
Yes, he's available now. He apologizes. Okay. So, Steph, give him a ring, and we'll get him on the air.
What's his excuse? I don't. Never mind.
Yeah, I wouldn't pry. It was a family issue.
Oh, okay.
All I know.
All right, now Bill.
And he thought it was only going to be short, and it turned out to be longer.
Yeah, and I've lost his bio, but Bill Greider is a reporter of long-term standing. He has he's 35 years as a reporter. He's an investigative reporter. He's been on Frontline. He was a correspondent for Rolling Stone. And for our purposes right now, and very, very importantly, he has an article that lays it essentially all out what the Bush far right-wing revolution is all about. It's in The Nation this week, and you can go to thenation.com. The name of it is The Right's Grand Ambition, Rolling Back the 20th Century. Bill Greider, thanks for joining me on The Peter Werby Show, and welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Peter.
I was worried for a minute we couldn't get you on because this is such an important issue because we're getting all this this sort of bread and circuses without the bread, just the circuses. but there's a lot at issue here. When you talk about rolling back the 20th century, explain to the audience exactly what you mean by that.
Well, they all of the thinkers and the political strategists in this long-running right-wing movement that really started with Barry Goldwater in 64 and came to power the first time with Ronald Reagan in 1980, their long-term vision is to recreate an America that existed around the era of William McKinley, who was president around 1900.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that sounds far-fetched to people, but it's literally quite true. And they don't think they'll get there tomorrow or next year or even in the Bush presidency, but this is their goal. And so they advance toward it a little, and they get pushed back, and then they advance further. That's what I'm describing in the article. It involves everything from extinguishing the progressive income tax as we have known it for the last 90 years, cutting way back on government power in Washington and dispersing it around the country, including to private individuals, corporations, churches, etc., and many other elements. And I just thought I needed to lay this out for folks because while I don't actually believe they're going to succeed in their long-term goals, they make impressive progress year after year.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would suspect that since you have a list in your article that's longer than that, in the Nation article that you wrote this week, but I would think the first two that people might say, whoa, wait a minute, what's wrong with that? That sounds pretty good. Get rid of the progressive income taxes. We're getting taxed way too much. And the second thing, get the power out of the federal government and dispersed among the states. You would think that would have kind of hit a good note with a lot of people.
It does. And a good many of Americans resonate with those ideas. I don't think a majority, but lots of folks. What it leaves out, of course, is how we pay for government without a progressive income tax. And the general conservative movement solution is a flat tax in which you no longer have graduated rates, that the highest incomes pay the same rate as the poorest. And preferably a consumption tax, that is a major significant sales tax, and then do away with the income tax altogether. These are actually elements of what was the federal government's profile in 1900 and the century before. The income tax didn't come in till 1913, 1914, after years of struggle. And if you want much, much, much smaller government at all levels, not just in Washington, you can do that. But you're also skipping over the fact that incomes and wealth in this society are not exactly evenly proportioned, to put it mildly.
Sure.
The other elements are also profound in their ambition. And part of that is their view that most people want government just to leave them alone. I don't happen to believe that, in fact, but that's their proposition, and a lot of people do believe in it. So they want to transfer influence and power to private organizations, business, churches, and other civic groups, and provide them, in doing so, some public money. I'm not against that in every instance, but I think it raises real big questions about what kind of society we want. And the most obvious example is the school voucher proposition, it's actually an income redistribution system, although they never call it that, but it would transfer tax money that everybody pays to a rather small minority of people who send their children to private schools, religious schools, secular schools, so forth. And their goal is to shrink the size of public education and have all sorts of competing private school systems, which will get public financing.
And destroy teachers' unions in the process.
And destroy teachers' unions and a lot else in the process.
Yeah.
And I think that's a... I mean, I'd like to see the country debate that one. I think it's misunderstood at present. First of all, the private schooling is growing at a modest rate, but actually not compared to public schooling. So that their market share of private schools actually declined slightly in the last decade, despite all the stories you read about families and children rushing to private schools. The population of private school children is about 10% of the larger whole. And so this is a very specialized form of aid, in other words, including the Catholic parochial system, which has declined by about half in the last 30 or 40 years. I feel pretty confident in my views, but I'd be happy if we just had an honest public debate. Do we want to dismantle the common school, the idea that America developed over the last 180, 200 years, and which became a distinctive quality of this country? I think it's a huge, gross error, but let's debate it.
William Grinder, you mentioned in your article, Rolling Back the 20th Century, that the conservative right has as this model the era of William McKinley. If you peg that at, say, 1890 to 1910, it's not exactly it's not an era that I think most of us would be happy living in. I mean, there's great, we get such a divergence of wealth now, but it was even probably greater then. There was a huge depression during the 1890s. A
couple of them.
There was, class warfare. With
yes.
With arms, cities, the filth and decay.
Yep.
So, are these conservatives? Are they motivated by ideology and true belief, or is it just pure greed?
Well, all of our human motives are always a mixture, including mine.
Yeah.
So I don't want to be unfair to anybody here, but I think that many, not all, but many of the conservatives do have a sincere ideological conviction that Americans would be happier and the country would be better if we had less government everywhere, less public sphere. And yes, some of those interests have a very strong motivation of personal income and wealth, and call it greed in some instances. And most obviously, business enterprises, well, sure, they would like to get out from under taxation. And they would like to get out from under especially regulation like environmental protection.
Sure.
But the point I try to make at the end of the piece is that I'm not against self-reliance. I'm for it, and I'm for individualism and all the rest. But for most Americans, it remains true that you don't have much power unless you are able to form collective action with other citizens who have similar grievances or aspirations, go into politics or confront business and demand improvements, changes, so forth and so on. That's the history of this country. So, and that's what I think profoundly rankles the right wingers. they despise that approach to politics. They want everybody to be one vote, one equal player. And I think that's silly to even entertain that when most people will be automatically shut out by that kind of politics, as you point out, as they were. They were in the streets in 1900, 1910, all the way up to the 1930s, trying to campaign against injustices, inequities, and brutalities that were quite common in those days. And I don't accuse the right of wanting to revive brutality, but I do say that the politics they are promoting, and I admire their dedication, will lead to some of those same things.
My guest is William Grider. I'm Peter Werby. The article we're talking about is The Right's Grand Ambition, Rolling Back the 20th Century. It's in the current issue of The Nation magazine. Tell me, can we look at a part of this as representing the failure of New Deal institutions in the sense that I remember when I was I worked for the welfare department when I was in my early 20s.
Really?
And it was awful system. And actually, people were saying this is an awful system that dehumanizes people. And then suddenly, though, we were put on the defensive during the 80s saying, you know, save welfare. In other words, many...
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Okay. I know exactly what you mean
right.
by that.
So a lot of these bureaucracies that were supposed to solve public problems have not functioned to the extent that they should have.
You know, you're so on the money, and it is hard for people who have defended liberal reforms from the New Deal era and before to acknowledge that those systems, however solid and sound they were at the beginning, like all human institutions, atrophied, decayed, ran up against new conditions which they really didn't respond to very well. And I think it's a great failure of progressives, whether you call them lefties or liberals or whatever, to see that clearly, particularly over the last 30 or 40 years, and address reform of those institutions. And welfare is one good example. Welfare, in my experience, is essentially a way to keep people breathing who are not in the labor market. And my solution to that problem, and I'm well familiar, having done a lot of reporting across America, particularly in inner cities, I'm well familiar with the breakdown of what that system did for people. But the solution is to create some kind of job, really employer of last resort system that gives people honest work and they get their welfare check or some of it or whatever, and they get training and all the other things. I think the welfare reform done by conservatives and with the complicity of Bill Clinton produced a quite different result, and we're beginning to see it now because they essentially took them and said, here, send these folks to City Hall or wherever, and they'll make them work on, cleaning up paper at the subway station, or, you know, there are a million variations on that, and I don't want to denounce all of it because some of it turned out pretty well. But I think as a long-run solution to jobs and incomes at the bottom quarter of the society, we will see that welfare reform did not solve the problem, and as economic conditions continue to stagnate, the evidence will become more and more visible. But back to your first point, I saw the same thing in financial regulation and in a number of other fields. In regulation generally, it's very hard to get liberal defenders and sponsors to acknowledge that a lot of those regulatory systems aren't working very well. Some of them are captured by business and industry. Some of them are just out of date. And instead of going back and saying, wait a minute, let's look at the wheel and see why it's wobbly, they defend. And I understand that impulse. I share it a lot myself. But it did set up the right's argument pretty well.
William Grider, towards the end of your article, Rolling Back the 20th Century, gee, we only have about a minute left. You say you don't think the right is essentially going to be successful in dismantling the government.
Well, I used to be more confident than I am now. I think I think fundamentally most Americans do not share its vision, and certainly the long-term implications, especially if people get a clear understanding of what this is about and where it's headed. But so long as they see it as a step-by-step question of let's reform welfare, let's fix this argument over the tax code, I don't think most Americans have a clue about where this system is headed. You know, the fights over the Supreme Court, which are now intense, and rightly so in my view, there are huge fundamental new doctrines which the conservatives want to write into the Constitution. They, of course, don't put it that way, but that's the reality. And if they get 6-7 seat majority on the Supreme Court, they will do that.
Mm-hmm.
They don't quite have, they've got 5 out of 9 now, but that's not, it's not a stable majority for enacting the big program.
Well, we're going to have to, unfortunately, leave the conclusion to this for another time. Best place to take up the argument and reading about it is in this week's issue of The Nation. It's available online at thenation.com. It's The Right's Grand Ambition, Rolling Back the 20th Century. And William Greider, our guest at the end, says he doesn't think they're going to be successful. Thank you so much for having joined
Thank
me on the
you,
Peter Werbe Show.
Great.
All right.
Bye.
Bye now. And there it is. And it's in that article. You can go to my website, Peter Werbe, P-E-T-E-R-W-E-R-B-E. W-E-R-B-E is my last name. PeterWerbe.com. You can go right to the article. We'll be right back. And the job, stop the right-wing revolution.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Yoo-hoo, it's us, your joints here. Listen, the aches, the stiffness, that's our way of saying we need help. There's a coupon for OsteoBiflex in this Sunday's paper. Over time, OsteoBiflex helps joints become more flexible, and they're a proud sponsor of the Arthritis Walk. Walking comfortably, that'd be nice. So, look for the coupon in Sunday's paper, then get OsteoBiflex and put some life back in your joints. You'll be more comfortable and will be less bothered.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werbe and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Tia Carrera is on the front
in Playboy.
I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No, I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Okay, let's go to Rand in New Mexico. Hey, Rand, welcome to Animal Talk.
Howdy, everybody. I love your show.
Well, thank you so much.
My older husky, the 14-and-a-half-year-old, has currently gotten into licking the cover of his bed.
Oh, well, you know, there could be a lot of really good smells on the cover of the bed, considering I'm sure he likes to lay around outside, and a lot of other things. Anal gland scent is probably one of the biggest
ones. Oh, I forgot the good old anal gland.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You remember, nobody expects the anal gland.
Right, and I'll tell you, they like to remind you every now and then that they exist.
Yeah. Hey, sure. Rand, we're going to come out with a new T-shirt just in honor of you.
Really?
It's going to say, anal glands express them.
Oh, you don't know how apropos that is.
Hey, Rand, we're going to put you on hold and get your information, get you out your free pickles, okay?
Oh, thanks.
All right.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Here's Roy from Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
You were talking about Gerstner quitting IBM and going to the Carlyle Group. And yada, yada, yada.
Well, let me just bring people up to speed. This is the chair of IBM that's now going to be part of the Bush Daddy weapons investment firm that makes 36% return on investment. And you know where a lot of that's coming from? It's coming from taxpayer dollars going to the war industries, all buddies of Bush. And we have the situation where the more that the Bush regime spends on war, the more it goes to the Carlyle Group. And when the daddy passes away, it all goes to the kid. It's called a racket, folks.
You just connected the dots, Peter.
We work for a highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
Alrighty then.
The Peter Werby Show. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Hi, Jalene Jordan.
In wonderful voice.
This is, I don't know, is this show a little ragged or what? Or is it just me? Am I a little ragged?
Are you feeling kind of ragged?
No, I'm not.
Thursday, Peter.
They had an enormous thunderstorm last night. One of the hardest I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah. Well, never mind about that.
You haven't lived in South Florida, let me tell you.
Okay.
Scary.
You know, we were talking about those shootings in Fallujah, which is actually Al-Fallujah. Mm-hmm. What do you imagine that city looks like? Sort of baked mud huts and all that? That's what I get, this impression. I'm looking at a photograph of it in the Daily Mirror in London, and it looks like downtown Detroit or downtown Miami.
Regular buildings.
Regular buildings, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, high-rise buildings and what have you. This is from Chris Hughes in Al-Fallujah, and you can go to mirror.co.uk. And he says it started when a young boy hurled a sandal at a U.S. Jeep. It ended with two Iraqis dead and 16 seriously injured. I watched in horror as American troops opened fire on a crowd of 1,000 unarmed people here yesterday. And you see this photograph of a GI in one of those real Hummers, not like the morons that buy them here. Sorry, I'm probably going to step on some toads that buy them here as a passenger vehicle. But a real Hummer shooting this heavy caliber machine gun at these fleeing unarmed men.
Oh, my gosh.
It says many, including children, were cut down by a 20-second burst of automatic gunfire during a demonstration against the killing of 13 protesters at Al-Kahad School on Monday. So it's really, you know, you kind of forget about this, how you have to go to the foreign press to get, a different idea of what's going on.
Right.
Yeah. And we were looking for words to describe the Bush administration, and someone was saying mendacious and all these kind of big, fancy words. Jamel wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. Said, Peter, keep it simple. Just say, this is sick.
Yeah, it really is.
There's your word. Hugs to you and Jalene.
Ah, thanks.
Thank you, Jamel.
It's sick and it's wrong.
All right, we'll be back. And it's going to be, it's May Day International Workers' Holiday. So one of the things we're going to be doing at the bottom of next hour, Working for a Living, our regular feature with Frank Ensbach from Workers' Independent News Service. Also, your calls, more on how much is this spectacle costing tonight? Nobody seems to know the answer. What is George W. Bush charging us for his jet plane ride?
You've been listening to The Peter Werby Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Erica Kane. An explosion in Baghdad has killed at least four people and injured dozens of others. The explosion occurred when Iraqis celebrating the resumption of electricity began firing guns. Most witnesses said people started firing the guns near a gasoline tanker. President Bush will tell Americans tonight that major combat operations in Iraq have come to a close. But in his speech from aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, Bush will stop short of declaring a victory in Iraq. The Geneva Convention states that a total declaration of victory would obligate the U.S. to call off its hunt for Saddam Hussein and other regime officials. A California congressman is asking Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld to look into the track record of a U.S. contractor playing a key role in rebuilding Iraq. Democratic Representative Henry Waxman claims Halliburton has and continues to do business with Iran, Iraq, and Libya. That despite U.S. sanctions against those countries because of reported links to terrorism. The San Francisco Chronicle wants Rumsfeld to clarify whether the White House ever looked into the legality of having Halliburton do work in those countries. Vice President Dick Cheney is a former CEO of the company. U.S. officials confirmed the nephew of senior al-Qaeda leader Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is among six people detained in Pakistan. He was captured by Pakistani authorities during raids that also netted a suspect in the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000. His uncle is a suspected mastermind of the September 11th attacks and was arrested on March 1st in Pakistan. More in a moment.
Are you a prescription plan member who uses Clarinex, Zyrtec, or Allegra for allergy relief? Then you should know that many plans are changing the coverage level on your nasal allergy medicine, which might cost you more money. Don't let nasal allergy relief cost you more this year. Just ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray 50 micrograms. Flonase is approved to relieve the nasal pollen, dust mites, pet dander, pollution, smoke, and strong odors. More triggers than any leading allergy medicine. Comparable efficacy and safety among Flonase and these products has not been established. For best results, use Flonase daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. To learn more about Flonase, see our ad in Fitness Magazine. Visit www.flonase.com or call 1-800-FLONASE. If the copayment for your allergy medicine is costing you more money, ask your doctor if Flonase is right for you. All it takes is Flonase.
There are new indictments and new suspects in the criminal investigation into the collapse of the former energy trading giant Enron. The Justice Department announced the new charges against former Enron chief financial officer Andrew Fastow. Officials have also accused his wife and seven other ex-Enron executives of fraud and other criminal violations in connection with the company's collapse. First-time unemployment claims dropped for the week that ended April 26. The Labor Department says it was down 13,000 from the previous week. More news after this.
Free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer, prices and terms may vary.
Accidents are claiming fewer children's lives in the United States. A 13-year study shows children's death rates from unintentional injury fell by almost 40% since 1987. The study being released by Safe Kids Campaign shows car accidents are still the leading cause of unintentional injury death among children. A noted Los Angeles criminal defense attorney may be taking over the defense for accused killer Scott Peterson. Mark Garagos has worked for such high-profile clients as former Congressman Gary Condit and actress Winona Ryder. Peterson is charged with the deaths of his wife and their unborn son. Results of a DNA test conducted on an abandoned 6-year-old boy in Illinois may be available by the end of this week. Officials want to know if the child is Tristan Buddy Myers, who has been missing from North Carolina for more than 2 years. I'm Erica Kane, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Oxymorons. You know, the things that just don't seem to go together, like jumbo shrimp or deafening silence. How about new car and service manager? You'll be surprised. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com. If thinking of the service manager while inking your new car deal seems like an oxymoron, think again. Though today's cars are certainly more roadworthy than their predecessors, they can still break. In fact, the experts at the L.A. Auto Show report that automotive repair is a $200 billion business, and one of every three cars serviced returns for additional work. So ask your new car salesperson for an introduction to the service manager. It's a small investment with a big payoff at repair time and for maintenance checks. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing and entertaining programs, this is the Radio Network.
Daring to connect the dots. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
Thank you very much, and happy May Day to you, Jalene Jordan.
Yes.
This International Day of Worker Celebration, as we celebrate ourselves, America, of course. I forgot when this actually was set up, but there was this real concern at some point when Labor Day in the United States was set up that there would be a connection between the workers of America and the workers of the world who internationally celebrated May 1st as International Workers' Day, Labor Day. And, of course, this began in the United States. That's what's so peculiar about it. This, on May 1st, 1886, Chicago police shot down workers striking for the 8-hour day. In fact, we're going to learn in about half an hour from our friend Frank Emspach, who's the managing director of the Workers' Independent News Service, about that our 8-hour day is under attack again from the same conservative forces representing the corporations and the bosses. Still the Republicans, still the same people. Also, May Day, Beltane begins, and this is the pagan holiday of renewal and birth and coming forth and what have you. So,
yes, it's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing.
You like that image that I would have, what was it, a guy in a business suit, a woman in a hard hat worker's outfit, and sort of like a hippie pagan type dancing around a maypole.
I love that. I love it.
Yeah. G.W. Bush, sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum. He doesn't go for any of that pagan stuff, that's for sure. And International Workers' Day, being representing the boss class, I don't think he has much interest in this at all. He spent several thousand. In fact, we're still looking for someone who has an idea of how much did this absolutely unnecessary trip by jet plane, by Navy jet, to the USS Abraham Lincoln cost the American taxpayer. And do you,
Too much.
We haven't heard from any conservatives in a long time. Now, maybe you like this kind of triumphal, actually, you got to do it the other way around with this. We were moving these words all around in another hour. But this imperial triumphalism, where the lead, the grand exalted leader of the empire, puts forth in the most dramatic circumstances possible. This is like World War II, you know, on the battleship USS Missouri. George W. Bush announcing almost the end of hostilities. He doesn't want to say it's completely at an end, because then he would be forced under international law to stop searching for Saddam Hussein and the rest of the people on this very bizarre deck of cards.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, very bizarre. So, anybody have an idea what it would cost? Just, you know what it costs to ship, just to have a plane go from Washington, D.C. to San Diego. Then this four-seater jet, him and Ari Fleischer, the pilot, I don't know who the third person is, to fly out to the USS Missouri to give the speech of victory triumphant, the empire successful. Over this grave threat. Oh, yeah. It turns out they didn't have any weapons of mass destruction after all, did they?
Huh. That's right. You know what, Peter? I got to tell you. Down here, I saw in the paper today, which I just switched from the Sun Sentinel to the Herald. I don't know if there's any difference. But in the Sun Sentinel this morning, there's something that you can go with the Broward County Sheriff's Office. It is a terrorist I don't know, not training, but it's a seminar where you can learn about terrorism and weapons of mass destruction.
You know,
I couldn't believe it.
Remember,
I thought, okay, I can see the terrorism thing, but are you really bringing weapons of mass destruction into this? Oh, God.
I know. And remember, I was saying yesterday, when history of this first decade of the 21st century is written about, people in 20, 30, 40 years are going to be laughing at us just like they laughed at people during the 1950s with their bomb shelters and duck and cover and all of this. People, this is a pure exaggeration of this threat of terrorism. There are people like criminal gangs out there that mean us harm, and the police apparatus should be on their toes like they weren't on September 11th, and to forestall this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But to think about this as endless wars and this war against Iraq and the occupation of having something to do with that, it's just nonsense. And it leads to a draining of the national fortune. This is why in our city, why I walk outside the door here of the IE America Radio Network headquarters and see a bombed out area, see a city where, that nothing works anymore, where there's not enough money for schools. Schools are closing. Recreation centers are closing. New York City, those wonderful brave firemen, 40. How can they do this? They're closing 40 fire stations in New York City.
Oh, my. I know. Unbelievable.
Absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, everything. It's just going. It's spiraling downward, and it's doing it pretty fast.
And what are the morons of the world doing? Apparently, they're still boycotting French goods.
Yeah.
And I said that I was still drinking French wine, even though I didn't like it as well as California wine.
Not as good. I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Michael wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, your French wine problem. I'm not kidding. There is a very good and relatively inexpensive French wine named Fat Bastard. The name is explained on the label as a British expression for an unusually full-bodied, flavorful wine. It is, however, a French product. Check it out. Around $13. Well, okay. When I have company. You know what?
Fat Bastard. You know, that was also the character in Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah.
Was one of his characters.
Oh, behave.
That was good. Very good.
Well, I want to get to some of our calls. 1-800-TALK-YES. But we're talking about this front page of the New York Times. Rumsfeld visits two cities in Iraq meeting troops, tries to reassure Iraqis on U.S. intentions. Then, right to the left, this massacre in Al-Fallujah, Iraq, and it just shows the scene where Iraqis have just been hit by automatic weapons fire from the United States troops. And the headline, GIs kill two more protesters in an angry Iraqi city. I mean, even their headlines in an angry Iraqi city. Well, yeah. Gee, don't you think people might be a little PO'd the fact that there is this force in there that's occupying your schools, that bombed your city, just killed 15 of your people, and you have the proconsul, the viceroy of Iraq, Jay Garner, saying, well, yeah, that's what he said, yeah, democracy, you get to demonstrate. And I guess U.S. occupying troops get to shoot people down. Well, here's an account by Chris Hughes, who was in Al-Fallujah, and there's photographs here by Julian Anders. And as I was saying, it looks like this downtown modern city. Chris Hughes says it started when a young boy hurled a sandal at a U.S. Jeep. It ended with two Iraqis dead and 16 seriously injured. I watched in horror as American troops opened fire on a crowd of 1,000 unarmed people here yesterday. Many, this is, you know, a paper from our ally, you know, United Kingdom. Many, including children, were cut down by a 20-second burst of automatic gunfire during a demonstration against the killing of 13 protesters on Monday. They had been whipped into a frenzy by religious leaders. The crowd were facing down a military compound of tanks and machine gun posts. The youngster had apparently lobbed his shoe at the Jeep with an M2 heavy machine gun post on the back as it drove past in a convoy of other vehicles. A soldier operating the weapon suddenly ducked, raised it on its pivot, then pressed his thumb on the trigger. Mirror photographer Julian Anders and I were standing about 6 feet from the vehicle when the first shots rang out without warning from the U.S. We dived for cover under the compound walls as troops within the crowd opened fire. Troops within the crowd. Now, this is unclear, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, is this U.S. or them? The convoy accelerated away from the scene. Iraqis in the line of fire dived for cover, hugging the dust to escape being hit. One of the dead, a young man, lay face up. Half his head missing. Well, we don't get into that. His friend screamed at us in anger, then looked at the grim sight in disbelief. A boy of 11 lay shouting in agony before being carted off in a car to a hospital. Cars pulled up like taxis to take away the dead and injured to hospital. A man dressed like a sheikh took off his head cloth to wave and direct traffic around the injured. The sickening scenes of death and pain were a culmination of a day of tension in Al-Fallujah, sparked by Monday's killings. And then it goes on. So, you know, however you cut it.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the United States doing there, firing on civilians? This is the liberation, folks. Here's Jeff in Denver. Jeff, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome.
Yeah, you want to know about the cost of the airplane?
Sure.
Well, according to the documentary that was done on PBS, I believe it was a Frontline documentary about Air Force One, it's over $50,000 an hour for Air Force One alone.
Wait, say that again, $50,000 an hour?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's Air Force One, that's not including all the accompanying planes and so forth, support aircraft. So it's probably over about $75,000 an hour. I mean, just like for reelecting Jeb Bush with the dozen trips that George took to Florida, it probably cost the taxpayers over $5.5 million for that.
Jeez. Well, you know, I saw a picture also, Donald Rumsfeld, you know, just hopscotching to these capitals of these occupied countries, Afghanistan and Iraq, and they showed him in his plane, and it was like a gutted, you know, passenger plane, and it's an enormous one because it had about 8 seats across, and he was sitting up in the front, and there, and I forgot, of course, he travels with this huge staff, right?
And consider they also have support aircraft, other planes that accompany as well as. Like with Air Force One, they have the plane that brings the limousine along.
Jeff, democracy does not come cheap.
Where's democracy?
Thank you.
Yeah,
appreciate your call.
Best democracy money can buy.
That's right. Here's Gary in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. It's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK. Yes, welcome.
Hi. Good to hear you guys again. And I was wondering if you might think that the Democratic National Committee would have enough gumption to make their own deck of cards for the 2004 elections and try to decide, you know, whether they should put Bush or Rumsfeld or Cheney as the ace of spades.
Well, Gary, is the DNC still operating? I hadn't heard from them lately.
I had Terry McAuliffe on.
Oh, you did, so they must be there. Yeah. Gary, you know what? I was so surprised that I found out after we talked about these deck of cards, and you can see a lot of them on my website, that there are all sorts of decks of cards exactly like the ones you're indicating, and that not a single one of them is George W. Bush, the ace of spades. It's always Dick Cheney.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I think that he's you know, the cover guy, but I don't know.
Well, Gary, you know, we're coming out to Santa Fe. We're going to be broadcasting live on May 13th and 14th, Tuesday and Wednesday, coming up in just a couple of weeks. I'm going to be broadcasting live in Santa Fe from the Cloud Cliff Bakery.
looking forward to it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. Here is here's Brad in Wisconsin. Brad, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, there seems to be a basic feeling from the right wing that there has to be a very large underclass to support a very small uber class, as it were.
Sure.
And I was wondering, I'd heard someplace, probably about a year or two ago, that there's been some writing about this, that from a military standpoint, that not necessarily in America, but all over the world, that a successful, what are we now, not a democracy anymore.
Well, we've gone from republic to empire, much
empire,
in the way.
Empire, thank you. That's actually the word I was looking for.
Then the way that Rome did.
Yeah, exactly. We require a lot of people to subjugate to support us. It's a requirement for success.
Well, it turns around to bite all empires in the butt, and what happens, you have this what they call imperial overreach, and we're probably at that point already. I mean, we're just sending hundreds of billions of dollars down this rat hole of preparation for war and rebuilding the damage we've done, and it all looks good in the short run, but this deficit is growing. We actually now don't even have the money to pay the national debt. There's going to have to be an extension of that pretty soon, or the U.S. is going to default on its, payments. Thank you, Brad. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back to get our callers on hold. Please stay there, and we'll get you next. Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Working for a living at 33 minutes after an hour. We'll talk about May Day and the attack on the 8-hour day.
I have a question for the men out there. What are you of developing prostate problems? 1 in 1,000? 1 in 300? Actually, my doctor told me they're 1 in 3. But you can help beat those odds with One A Day Men's Health Formula. One A Day Men's is a complete multivitamin with 21 nutrients plus lycopene, which Harvard studies have linked to prostate health. So now that you know your risk, help beat the odds. Take One A Day Men's Health, the multivitamin with more for your health.
When we bought this house, I really loved all the open space nearby.
Me too.
Too bad our real estate agent never mentioned what they had planned for that space.
Four!
Yeah, too bad. Want to find the right real estate agent for you? Come to LendingTree.com. We'll personally match you with a LendingTree certified real estate agent, provide access to home listings, even a $1,000 gift card. Call 1-800-555-TREE or click on LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply. See website for details.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee. Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Seff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts in Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumba will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
We're back. It's the Peter Werby Show. Call Peter at 1-800-TALK-YES. That's 1-800-825-5937. Here's Peter.
All right, thanks a lot. Hey, welcome aboard this crazy train. Jalene Jordan, welcome back as well. A lot of people now sending us in estimates of how much this jet joyride of George W. Bush is going to cost the American people. And Susan, she sent in something to calltalkyes@yahoo.com. But man, it's just, let me just say this rather than repeating all of it. It burns a lot of fuel, these big jets that they're flying over there. Nadine writes in, the short answer is at least $2 million. I've been discussing this with my brother-in-law over email, but don't discount it all the way up to $4
million. Jeez.
She says, oh,
we
by the
way,
I should go to the USS Missouri today to actually remember the real surrender instead of this fake. And you see what it's all about. All you have to do is go to drudgereport.com, you know, the conservative site, and there's a photograph of G.W. Bush landing on the U.S. Abraham Lincoln after he's gotten holding his helmet, and it says under it, Top Gun.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, there you go. That's what it's all about, folks. Imagery. Fake.
Oh,
here's Dean in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Dean, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Going good.
I guess I'm an example of one of those people that should probably, that they want to lengthen the day on, because I've got too much time on my hands by calling you. But I'm actually multitasking because I'm doing computer work while I'm talking to you. But
well, it's supposed to be calling sick day anyways.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm laboring and I'm celebrating by, taking a little slack time. But
good.
Anyway, I kind of thought of a solution. I mean, this deck of cards thing kind of came to mind. And today I saw an article about an article coming out of Newsweek about 9/11 and how the Bush administration is refusing to declassify and actually is reclassifying things that were already leaked from those intelligence hearings, an 800-page report. And I'm wondering if a deck of cards couldn't be developed along those lines, especially by, say, a nonprofit organization or one that's politically active, that would illustrate the figures involved in 9/11, who heard what and what did they know, and the questions revolving around that.
Yeah, I think that's very important. In fact, that's apparently going to be in Newsweek. It's on the MSNBC site right now, and I have it here. Unfortunately, I need about 5 hours. But this is a critical issue and question for the American people that have never been answered, and the Bush administration, in its mendacity, since we were using big words, does not want the American people to know the truth of it. Thank you, Brad, or excuse me, thank you, Dean.
Cool, we'll see you out here.
Bye, you will indeed, at the Cloud Cliff Bakery on May...
Big crowd.
13th and 14th, right.
Yeah.
This is from Billy. He writes in, Hi, Peter, I'm on my way to work, but I thought you'd like to see this. It's from Greenpeace, and apparently it's another deck of cards with GW as the ace of spades. I'll have to check this out. He says, I'm a lifelong Republican that's going to vote Democrat for the first time in over 30 years.
Hey.
Wow. Here's Gabe in Santa Fe listening to KTRC. Gabe, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Jalene. Apparently, I'm a day late and a dollar short. I was just going to share with you the little Greenpeace deck of cards fact that I saw at once on one of the cable news networks today.
Where was it?
It was on, I actually saw it on CNN's headline news, but apparently Greenpeace is taking this deck of cards to Geneva in some fashion about the in regards to nuclear nations and who their people are on their list.
Well, here's the story. Let's see here. In a play on the deck of cards distributed to U.S. troops, William Pedden says it's an exact copy of the U.S. deck, but while the U.S. The Greenpeace deck is meant to focus attention on the dangers posed by nuclear arsenals. Well, I'll get this up on my website. I don't know if you've seen some of these others, Gabe, but there.
No, I have not.
If you go to Peter Werbe, my last name is W-E-R-B-E, peterwerbe.com, there's more decks than you can absolutely imagine.
Well, your site, Peter, is actually my homepage, so I can get to that real quick.
Thank you, Gabe.
All right, thank you.
See you in Santa Fe.
Hey, Peter, I just got this. George W. Bush, it's the ace of spades. It says, George W. Bush, President, United States of America, possessor of approximately 10,600 nuclear weapons inside the NPT. That's NFT, right? NPT, Nuclear Proliferation
Treaty.
Thank you.
Maybe.
We need each other.
Yeah, and Tony Blair is... Ooh, okay. All right, here's what we're going to do. Let me see. I'll take the last two people online, holding online. So if you're there, hold on. Then we'll go and talk to Frank Emspach. Working for a living is our theme, but I want to get you folks on the air as well. So hold tight if you're there, and we'll be right back to you. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 on this May Day.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. Like cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee.
Delivered hot,
fresh and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki. Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
You're listening to The Peter Werbe Show. Family Talk with Mike Riera is next on IE America Radio Network.
People are trying to stop the spread of insects and disease without stopping international trade. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Wooden pallets are used in shipping to move freight around the world. These wooden platforms are important for trade, but they often carry more than their intended cargo. Beetles, worms, fungus, and bacteria are just some of the organisms that ride around on pallets. In one case, researchers examined a single pallet and discovered nearly 30 different kinds of insects. Carrie Britton is a forest pathologist with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She says the wood that's used for pallets often comes from trees that already had been weakened by insects or disease.
There's probably billions of pallets that move around each year with very inferior wood. And sometimes the reason those trees died too young to become anything but a pallet is because they had insects or diseases.
Imported diseases and pests have caused serious economic and environmental damage around the world. Britton says people are looking for ways to fight this problem.
The regulatory community all over the world realize that this is a major problem, and they're working on trying to develop regulations and ways of requiring that the wood be treated either with heat or fumigants like methyl bromide.
Britton says modern transportation helps foreign organisms survive the trip between continents.
They can travel across the ocean. We have such rapid transit now that they arrive still alive, and they just crawl out and look for a new home.
Pallets are not the only problem. Invasive species sometimes travel in wood chips and other wood that's used for packing material. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES is our regular feature on Thursdays. Working for a living, Huey Lewis in the news, and our guest Frank Emsbach will be with us in just 1 minute. I want to take a couple of calls, and then we'll be right to Frank. Here's Michael calling from Spokane, Washington. Michael, it's Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Hey, sorry, I might be breaking out a little bit because of my cell phone, but I just wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I mean, really, what is your what's your point over, you know, this issue with the Air Force One? Didn't Clinton use Air Force One too? And on top of that, he had, you know, he had porn films even on Air Force One that Bush had to ban. But that's a separate issue.
Oh, I don't believe that. Come on, where did you hear that?
What do you mean? Come,
you heard that on Michael Weiner's show?
No, actually, the Washington Times. Okay, laugh when the truth hurts. But,
well,
you know, I don't want to confuse you.
But wait. What are you saying? Are you saying that Bush is as bad? Are you saying Bush is as bad as Clinton? Is that your point?
No.
Okay, what's your point?
My point is Bush can't use the Air Force One now?
Does he need to spend $5 million in order to make this speech, or could he do it in Washington?
He could have done it in Washington,
but
he also wants to show support for the troops by being with them when he makes a statement.
Wait a minute. There's troops everywhere. You know, it's called the information age. This is pure publicity stunt. Come on, Michael.
Okay, and I could make the same argument about Clinton using jet fuel to go meet with the Chinese.
I don't care about Clinton.
If you would have
been listening to this show, if I would have had this show back then, you would have heard me beating up on Clinton, too. So, you know, it's saying, well, Clinton did it. Michael, I got to get my guest. Please, call another time. Here's Mark in Dallas. Mark, Peter Werby at 1-800-TALK-YES.
Okay, I'll make this quick, Peter. I heard somebody else call and mention the MSNBC article regarding the Bush administration's attempt to classify previously released material on the September 11th tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my observation. When Columbia broke up in February, it took no less than 2 weeks to get the Blue Ribbon Commission established. 3 months later, they have a working hypothesis.
And they're spending, I think, upwards of $30 million for the investigation.
Bingo. It took 17 months to get the Blue Ribbon Commission established for September 11th. And at month 19, we have the cover-up starting.
Yeah, and, of course, the questions, is posed. What did Bush know and when did he know it? Mark, I got to get my guest. Thanks for raising that. We're going to do a whole show on it. Frank Emsbach, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. Working for a Living is the name of this segment. Frank Emsbach is the managing editor and executive producer of the Workers Independent News Service, something you hear regularly here on all the IE America radio shows. Frank, happy May Day to you.
Happy May Day. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. What are you doing?
Using our new handy-dandy speakerphone with a microphone. Maybe it sounds better than just the phone. I don't know.
I wouldn't say it sounds good. It sounds like you're on a boat.
Boat? All right, well, I'm going to pick up the phone, and we're going to try that, all right?
Okay, let's go for that one.
Oh, you there?
Oh, that sounds a lot better.
Is this a lot better? Okay.
All right. So happy May Day to you.
Yes.
And tell us real quickly the history of May Day. Remind people of why this is an international workers' holiday.
Well, it started in Chicago, you know, in downtown Chicago around what is now Ashland Avenue in the Haymarket. And several thousand workers gathered at the call initially of the AFL at that time, 1885. And they said in 1885 they wanted an eight-hour day by 1886, and there was going to be national demonstrations around the country. to demand an eight-hour day. And so that was happening in Haymarket. Somebody threw a bomb. A number of people were killed. The strikers, of course, or the demonstrators, of course, were arrested, although it appears that an agent of some sort apparently did it. Several people were hung. But in any event, the May Day tradition started, and there were actually demonstrations all throughout the country, even up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We had what was called the Bayview Tragedy. Elsewhere throughout the country, as police opened fire on people who were demanding the eight-hour day, it became a worldwide holiday for workers, taken up as the sort of national holiday in Russia or the Soviet Union after the revolution there in 1917, and therefore condemned by everybody else in the so-called West. And so we got Labor Day in exchange here. That's it. So it's still seen by thousands, millions of workers all over the world as their holiday.
Yeah, it sort of got, at one point, got hijacked by police state bureaucrats, too. That kind of gave it a bad name to some extent.
Yeah, that's true, absolutely, where people sort of stand around and be sort of forced out there and not really have the spirit. There's no question about that. But in other countries, including this one, and in Canada and in France, it is a popular holiday, and particularly in France and Italy. There are millions of people. Or Brazil today, there were over 100,000 people demonstrating in Iraq today.
Really?
And, of course, there's a general strike going on in Israel, all of which starts, you know, sort of propitiously today, right?
Yeah, 700,000 people in Israel.
Yes, 700,000, right. So it's quite a day, and here it's sort of interesting because today, more than anything else, I think that this week, I guess, throughout the country, there's all kinds of stuff going on against privatization, against job cuts for a decent budget, against layoffs. And now the Bush administration has proposed weakening the Fair Labor Standards Act, the whole basis of sort of the economic underpinnings. There was legislation passed in the 30s to try to raise wages and prevent just cutthroat and killing type of competition, wage competition. The Fair Labor Standards Act was that act where it said after 8 hours or 40 hours a week, you have to pay time and a half. And the reason that was passed was to try to encourage employers to hire more people. We're talking about 1933 and 35, you know, a huge depression. And they said, basically, if you want people to work more than 40 hours, pay more people to do it instead of just making the people work 12 hours or 14
sure.
hours or whatever. There'd be a premium. Likewise, pay double time on Sunday. It should be a day of rest. And basically, that law has been in effect ever since. It's been nibbled away and changed. But now there is a proposal to change it in a fundamental way and basically undermine the whole concept of hiring more people to do more work.
Yeah, and that's this bill now that's been introduced by the Republicans. I love the name, Family Time and Workplace Flexibility Act.
Right.
Yeah. So it sounds like it's pro-family. That's what they're always talking about, right?
Well, it isn't, because the estimates are that while it's true that some people at the higher end of the wage scale might be covered by the Fair Labor Standards Act, people who are called exempt employees now, certain types of administrative people, many, many other people at the lower end of the wage scale would, in fact, wind up with compensatory time, which might be hard to collect, instead of cash at the end of the week, which is a lot easier to collect, particularly if you get laid off at some point. So it would basically, in spite of the addition of workers to the system, would not result in higher wages for most workers.
In fact, it really erodes the guarantee of the 8-hour day, the 40-hour
right.
week. So
it erodes the concept.
When we talked earlier in the broadcast with William Grider talking about how the Republicans want to send us back to the late 19th century.
Yeah, right.
And this is just more evidence of it.
Yes. In the interest of flexibility, so-called, the idea is that people can work whenever anybody wants and whatever anybody wants to pay them. And I think that we've already been through that. And it resulted in the Great Depression, and from 1933 to 1929, really, to the beginning of World War II. And now, you know, 60 years later, all the things that contributed to that depression, insecurity in old age, low wages, falling family income, inequality in income are all back. And we're seeing some of the same problems where the number of layoffs is increasing, the economy is slowing down. So it seems to me that these types of so-called flexibility are harmful. There are ways to bring about flexibility and family time, you know, without this. For instance, the French have figured out a way. They've shortened the work week.
Sure. Great idea.
And we in this country work more hours and get paid less than per hour and than many, many countries. So to me, being family friendly is being home with the family and being able to afford to do so.
Frank Embsbach's my guest. It's a regular feature of the Peter Werbe Show. We call it Working for a Living. Frank is with the Workers Independent News Service. And people began sending in emails with questions for you. So this is something we can do. If you have questions for Frank, we're probably going to have to answer them the time after this particular one. But Dan from Long Island wrote in, "Hey, Peter, I was curious if you could give me advice on how to start a union where one doesn't exist. I work in an industry, copy editing and publishing, where I've never encountered a union. I know a lot of people who would probably be interested, but those people would also be scared to rock the boat. Any advice or resources you know of that I could check out?"
Sure. There is, with the Communication Workers of America at this point, depending on what he's doing, whether he's writing, it'd be like the Newspaper Guild, or doing electronic work, it might be NABET, the National Association of Broadcast and Electronic Technicians, or if he was writing like or working on a microphone, if he was that type of media, it would be AFTRA.
Mm-hmm.
But
my
definitely
union.
The Newspaper Guild and the Writers Union both cover different types of writing and editing.
Well, you know, I actually, in many ways, and I think that's great advice, and if he's not listening, I will email him this, but this is what we wind up facing very frequently in any organizing drive for unions. We find people very enthusiastic, and then the company will go out and hire goons. They'll go out and hire some high-priced bunch of lawyers that specialize in opposing unions.
Yeah, you know, we talked with William Gould, who used to be the chief administrator of the National Labor Relations Board about 2 weeks ago. We have an interview which we'll be happy to make available to you. He pointed out that the way in which to really defeat a union drive now is delay justice, delay the hearings, just grind the people down so that if somebody gets fired, even if it's illegal, you know, a year and a half later they're brought back and so what, and the union drive is over. And just dragging out the process will just about do you in, partially because the most active people say, well, this, you know, like they can get a job someplace else, or they're just sort of forced out or frozen out, and there's no rapid solution to these problems. And so he thought that the whole issue should be revisited and that we should make meaningful changes in labor law so that if people want a union, that right is enforced with as much vigor as, say, property rights are.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bill from Seattle writes in, as we're talking, I'm not sure you have...
For what?
A listener is writing in as we're talking, and he says, in call center environments, they just shut down the call center and use outsourcers. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, I can tell you, at the there was a big, big organizing drive in La Conexión, I think it was in San Francisco, that Sprint had,
mm-hmm.
and the CWA, Communication Workers, won, and Sprint simply closed it. But the result was a massive effort by the National Labor Relations Board, and this is Bill Gould's, I think, shining hour, to get an injunction against Sprint, to force them to pay all the workers, to pay a huge fine. So, yes, it's true that technically that the call center can be shut down and moved, but it's also true that there's now a legal precedent that when you can show this has been the case because of a union, the company has been forced to retreat. Ultimately, they were able to find a way to close the call center for other reasons, legitimate or what seemed to be the more legitimate economic reasons. But the fact is that there is some legal redress here, particularly if they're working with a lot of different people and unions and community groups that might want to use that call center, if it's for some commercial product that people use, say like airline tickets or, you know, anything else where a consumer boycott might be effective.
Now, here's another question. I have to remember, this is just from memory because I seem to have misplaced the email. And this was someone who wrote in and asked, I can join a union at a university. I think it was Indiana University.
So, right.
But the union is very, very weak, and he doesn't think it will do him any good. Do you think it should join? And I certainly know people that have been members of extraordinarily ineffectual unions. Is an ineffectual union better than no union?
Well, it's better in that you have legal protections usually in a contract, even if it isn't being enforced very well. So if something happens, you might be able to do something. I don't know what the state law is in Indiana as to whether or not university people have collective bargaining rights. In Wisconsin, we do not.
Really?
And we have a union here. I'm president of it, actually. And we are vigorous in the defense of people, grievances, you know, and suing them and so on and so forth. So I don't know what the situation is in Indiana. But part of it is, if you've got an organization and you're facing economic problems, as I'm sure the university is, maybe this is the time to rebuild that organization. At least you don't have to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we started this segment, Frank M. Spag, we were talking about it's a May Day, International Workers' Holiday. And you said there are, I think you did, you said that there were celebrations here in the United States.
Yeah.
Do you think this is something that would could come back as a legitimate day of celebration for the working people of this country?
Well, you know, one of the reasons it went away is that the powers that be were able to say that May Day is basically a communist celebration and that American workers who are doing so well and are everything is better here don't need this kind of stuff. We can just go away and come back and have Labor Day at the end of the summer and go back to work. Well, you know, that story was a good story maybe from, say, 1945 to 1975. But since 1975, things have stagnated for most working people or gotten worse. And I think that maybe as this happens and people say, wait a minute, we're going in the wrong direction here, people will also say, well, we've got to get out and do something about it. And May Day is a pretty good time. It's the beginning of spring. It's a nice time to get out there. It's better than January in most parts of the country. And so I think that people more and more are willing to do it. Now, I know only in places that I've been to in the last few days, New York, Chicago, and here in Madison, where in Madison it used to be this sort of, 25 people out with a red flag. I would say that today at the state capitol in about an hour, let's see, it's 4 o'clock, so at 5 o'clock, I would estimate there'll be 600 to 800 people up there, mostly state workers talking about job cuts, followed immediately thereafter by a whole demonstration of students and supporters of students who will be raising the issue of tuition increases and the cuts of the faculty and staff here.
Well, good. May Day lives. Frank Emsbach, thanks for joining us. A regular feature here on the Peter Werbe Show, Working for a Living with Frank Emsbach from Workers Independent News Service. You can go to laborradio.org, laborradio.org, a wonderful service.
Thank you very much, Peter.
We're proud to have it here on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks, Frank.
Okay, we'll see you next week.
We'll talk to you next week. Thank you. And, hey, got a friendly correction for Peter Werbe. I'll tell you about that next. Jalene Jordan will join me. We'll ask her to judge it as well. From another Pete, I see.
Free, 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 free.
Every day at Domino's, you get something free. A cheesy, gooey pizza and great taste we guarantee.
Delivered hot, fresh, and steamy, you'll feel like you're in Waikiki.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Right now at Domino's, it's 2-for-1 pizza days. Buy any large pizza at menu price, get a medium one-topping pizza free. What a deal.
Buy a large Domino's pizza, get a medium one-topping pizza free.
Get the door. It's 2-for-1 pizza days at Domino's. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary.
Feed someone who is hungry, and you will feel full. Give a child a reason to dream, and you will feel at peace. Help a teen reclaim his youth, and you will feel years younger. When you help the Salvation Army, everybody feels better. Donate online at SalvationArmyUSA.org. Need knows no season.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Show 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937.
That's time to organize, if not in your union, in your community. Peter Werby with Jalene Jordan. Hi, Jalene.
Hi.
Well, here's what someone wrote. Actually, it's Pete. Pete wrote into calltalkyes@yahoo.com. He says, I don't mean to be a smartass, but I've often heard you misuse the word malign, M-A-L-I-G-N, in relation to W. I wouldn't want you to sound like too stupid to be president, so here are the proper forms of the word for your future reference. So he tells me malign is a verb, and on and on. However, Pete, going to dictionary reference, malign, adjective, evil or harmful in nature or influence, prompted by malign motives.
Oh.
So I was right.
Good, Peter.
I knew I was.
You have a good grasp of the English language.
Pretty good for a college dropout, huh?
Yeah.
Here's Phil in Florida. Phil, it's Peter Werby and Jalene Jordan at 1-800-TALK-YES. Welcome.
Hi. I've got good news.
Good.
Oh.
We love that.
The concern that people have, we have voiced about the bias in talk radio,
mm-hmm.
I think is going to be dealt with as a function of the change in technology.
How so?
AM is going to be discontinued.
Really?
there, you've got digital FM coming out. You have satellite radio.
Right.
Right. You have DVDs. Okay. There is only so much physical space to make selections, plus, you know, room on a car radio.
Okay.
And these new technologies are going to require the space that's now being occupied by AM.
So we're history? Is that what you're saying?
So what I'm saying is Rush Limbaugh and all the other boys are going to have to find another way, because AM is going to be obsolete and will not be in car radios in the very near future.
I don't know. What do you think, Jalene? You work with well, of course, your husband works.
I don't see near future.
I wouldn't say near future, but you never can tell.
Well, how long? Overnight, they got rid of, went to the record store, and records were gone, weren't they?
Yeah, you're right.
True.
And cassettes, pre-recorded cassettes, are no longer manufactured.
Right.
That's true.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we're moving out of VHS into DVDs very quickly.
That's right.
All right. And the sound quality of AM radio is poor. It's been around since the beginning of time, so to speak.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have to leave it at that, Phil. But that's an interesting concept. Our listeners, Jalene, always ahead of the curve, right?
Yeah.
Hey, let's take out all those right-wing wackos. You know, we're on so many other forums, aren't we? Hey.
Yeah, we are.
Let's talk tomorrow. Thanks, everybody, for being part of the show.
You've been listening to The Peter Wuerbe Show on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Wuerbe Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Jalene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Wuerbe Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2